want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow, that I tried to get over it. And I couldn't. So what?
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Welcome to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are off on vacation for a couple of weeks, and we've got some great best of for you coming coast to coast live on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your humble host, Artinger here. Uh-oh, Rob's coming in. Pleased to be joining me, Rob. Pleased to be getting a microphone.
I just wanted to say so far it's going great.
Yeah, it's going great, Pete.
I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Thank you. And
I won't interrupt either.
You notice how I didn't say WJFK, I said Westwood One Radio Network.
It's nationwide.
Nationwide, coast to coast.
That's right.
We're the station with the most. I can't keep a straight face with you in here. All right. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. It is a beautiful Monday in the Washington, D.C. area. And I've got a lot of good stuff to play for you today. So I really don't want to waste too much time. I want to get right into it. In this segment, Don and Mike talk about one of our very famous ratings parties. We always have ratings parties when the ratings are good. Sometimes we have them when the ratings are bad. Doesn't matter, because it's always something to behold. It's the best of Don and Mike on 106.7 WJFK.
Let me just take a couple of seconds here to talk about the big party that the station had on Friday night, which was, I guess, the last time we talked to you.
The station had a party Friday night?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry. I was there. Yes, of course.
Listen, I'm not going to badmouth the place. I think we did enough of that on Friday.
Yes.
Without naming the place. And it's an okay place.
Yeah. It's fine.
You know, if you're like Rudy and you don't mind eating dog food.
Right.
It's a great restaurant.
Oh.
All I know is that it's supposed to be a moment of triumph for the people that work at this radio station.
Mm-hmm. And here we were again, crammed into a too small space.
Oh, and they couldn't even get a private area. Yeah. You know, I walked into the bar and there are like biker guys sit at the bar.
I like to call them surly regulars, Don. Surly regulars that were at the bar, and we were in their space, and they didn't appreciate it.
And you know what? I can't fault them.
No.
We were the ones that were out of place, intruding on their quietest of areas.
Struck me as a neighborhood bar where people like to hang on a regular basis, and there was one lady in particular made a lot of trips up off her bar stool through the crowd with the same look every time, like, what are you people doing here?
What a horrible thing to say.
So, you know, all the biker chicks and all the biker guys, and a lot of them look like construction guys, big guys that would just, you know, love to just beat a disc jockey, you know, so you couldn't even recognize his beautiful face anymore.
For sport.
Right.
Just to watch him die.
Right. You know, just because disc jockeys are pretty boys.
Sure. Just pummel them into submission.
So we go over to this place, and, you know, you heard us talking about it on Friday. Not a popular move with the members on the staff. Definitely a cost-cutting move.
Right.
By the Ayatollah of rock and roller, the very evil skin-tagged Ken Stevens.
Yes, it was a last-second replacement, and it was cost-effective.
So we get over there, and, I mean, you walk in, and you're right that every eye in the room is on you, and it's all these people. It's like you walked into Cheers.
Yeah.
You know, if the regulars at Cheers were a lot dirtier and scuzzier.
Mm-hmm. And nobody wanted to know our name. They wanted us to leave. That's kind of the vibe that I got in there.
So you walk, and you know who was really flipping me out? The guy with the shaved head.
Yeah, up at the bar.
The guy with the shaved head. Who at first, I thought when I first walked in, I thought, well, I really thought this. I won't think badly of him. I won't be afraid of him because He looks like one of the kindly chaps that draws for Mad Magazine. Right, he had that look about him, right?
Right.
But I saw as the night went on, he was really steamed that all the people from the radio station
were
in there in his area.
You got a lot of people, you got salespeople for the radio station, you got people that are on the air. We are people who don't have problems, walking into a situation where we're unwelcome. Salespeople for radio, they're used to being unwelcome wherever they go.
Yeah.
And for us, we don't have the presence of mind to even care, so we take it over. We steamrolled into this joint.
So once I decided that I should be scared of this guy, because I guess he's not friendly like a guy who draws cartoons for a living, I retreated to the corner of the room, wasn't drinking, having my diet soda. As a matter of fact, who would have thought this? Of everybody in the room, me and Mike were the only guys that weren't drinking.
We were teetotaling. I had a Coke.
We were sitting in the... Yeah. Well, you never do, though, Buzz. You don't count. So we're sitting in the corner of the room. Me and Mike just having our diet beverages together.
Really awkward just standing there, for a moment, just really realizing, because we are not engaging in the festivities, just how awful this party really is.
And we were standing in the corner, and I said, those guys at the bar are really pissed. Yeah. Look at those guys at the bar.
Yeah, very angry.
Then they started looking around, and we saw a couple of the sales guys laughing and being goofy.
What a horrible thing to say.
Yes, I know, Bert. It was awful. And then at this point, Mike and I haven't said a word to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of minding our own business.
Yeah, I mean, we're standing there just hanging and talking to whoever wants to come up and chat.
The hostess with the mostess, Broomhilda.
Boy.
This lady that I guess is the manager of the place. A lady's got a linebacker shoulders, okay?
Mm-hmm, yes, big woman.
A big, big corn-fed woman.
Wide woman.
Big birth and hips.
Yes, large.
So she comes over.
She whisks over on her broom.
And now keep in mind, it's me and Mike, and I think Rob is standing there.
Right.
I think like maybe one of the sales geeks is standing there. We're just talking. We're just talking.
Right.
She comes over and she goes, Don and Mike, right? I said, yeah.
Hi.
There's some people in the restaurant that want to meet you. And I said, well, why would anybody even know that we're here? I mean, I know that we talked about the place, but we didn't name the place.
No, and we
didn't name the night.
Even Jack.
We didn't name the night.
There's one thing she did. She named the night.
You can't get pregnant with a Polaroid, Jack. So, I don't mind telling you, you didn't say anything. I'm the one that said, I feel weird about that. I said, I'm not going to go walk through the restaurant and
disrupt. Well, I agreed with you. I mean,
people's dinners.
We were sitting there. We're standing there. And it's one of those deals. We're off. It's the party time. We're hanging. We're not drinking. We're not celebrating. But we're standing with our coworkers, and we want to hang with our coworkers. Mm-hmm. We don't want to walk through the crowded restaurant and walk over to the table. So what I said to the lady, I said, "No, we don't want to do that." I said, "But why don't you go get them and bring them over here? Bring them into the party. We'd love to meet them." And
Broomhilda didn't like that.
She didn't like that.
Ooh,
she felt that after the invasion of privacy, that she would rather drag us through the crowded restaurant, and the alternative of having them come over and just say hi.
Yeah.
Even though she agreed to it, she was not happy about it.
We like seeing people.
Absolutely.
The people that listen to our show, for God's sakes, are the people that we want to say hello to.
Well, and I also don't think that we were copping an attitude with this lady in any way, shape, or form. We said, no,
opposed to Broomhilda.
We don't want to go through the restaurant, but bring them over. We'd, come on over, bring them over. And she's
fine.
So we're sitting there a couple more minutes. Then she comes over.
And she brings two very nice... like, they look like Elaine from Seinfeld. They're just working gals.
Yeah, we're ready to meet these people. And she
brings them over and she goes, here's the two stuck-up guys that wouldn't come to meet you.
Yeah. Well, intro. Well, right? Not only did she approach us, she come up to us, but then she lays that on us.
And now, at this point, we've got the two ladies standing in front of us. As we said, listen, hold on just a second. We say to Broomhilda, hey, wait a minute.
And she's walking away at this point after her nasty little comment. And then she says something that I didn't hear, and I was really that close just to going over and getting into it with her. But she was out the door because she said something like, la, 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 la.
She did that thing, when someone's walking away and talking about you in a bar especially, you can get away with it. But she was looking back and giving us the hairy eyeball.
Saying really something nasty, and then was through the door. And I said, excuse me? And she heard me say that, and she still continued to go through the door after she brought the people over.
So then now we're stuck with these people.
Yeah. Very nice people.
Very nice, but it's like now they've seen kind of a little mini scene.
It's awkward.
So then we said,
of it on the part of the lady that works there, because we really didn't cut much of a scene.
We said, listen, we would love to meet you. It's just we feel awkward at, first being in here, busted in these other people on their bar night.
Right.
And we didn't know that you guys were out there, and we didn't want to disrupt anybody's dinner. And they stood there for a second. And then it reached that point when it was just the four of us just staring at each other.
I said, well, nice to meet you. Thanks for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And they seemed satisfied, and they were on their way. You know, it reminds me, have you ever seen the Elvis movie? It's one of my favorite Elvis movies, where Elvis goes into the diner, and the guy is sitting over at the booth, and he wants to make Elvis sing, and then Elvis finally gets up and sings, and then they have the big bar fight afterwards. Well, the big, tall guy that makes Elvis sing was this manager, because she didn't want to have...
Are you saying we're Elvis?
No, I'm saying that this is...
That is a horrible thing to say.
But it's like this lady, it was not getting her customers to come over and say hi. Yeah. It was the power trip that she wanted to do by dragging us through the restaurant. Yeah. And when she didn't get that satisfaction, she wasn't happy. No. It was her little trip.
I told Mike, I'll say, I also think she was mad because, listen, we weren't thrilled about going there.
No, and we didn't say a lot of nice things about it. We never mentioned the place by name, but we didn't say anything very nice about the place.
Dog food. Dog food was salsa. That's what they served a lot of.
Yeah.
So then, you know, it was a very pedestrian party, and the mic left before anybody did. That shows you how bad the party was.
You know it's a bad party when I leave first.
I will just give a momentary shout-out to a gal who, as a matter of fact, was right here under our bright lights on Friday's episode, office manager Miss Bobby. Okay? Listen. For those of you who maybe have come into contact with Bobby over the years and thought that perhaps she enjoys her position, being the knowing-all, being-all, seeing-all manager of the station.
The power broker.
I'm here to tell you that came back out on Friday night. Because you want to talk about someone who was letting their hair down.
She was having a pretty good time.
Uh-huh.
She was having a very good time.
Here's what she did that just cracked me up. I'm standing there at the bar having my diet soda. I'm talking to Miss Bobby, and I'm talking to, I don't know, someone else. And there's four or five of them standing there. And over the corner is this annoying sales guy, Jeff Shrinsky, who's...
Right.
I know we've mentioned him before. We think he might be violently insane, and he's very much like Tom Arnold.
Right.
That same very annoying, hey!
Yeah, he's in your face. He's 2 inches away from your face. He'd rather,
hey, what are you doing?
He would not want to have a conversation where he you know, stays out of your personal space. He wants to sit on your right shoulder. He'd straddle your right shoulder, just look down at you and go, what's happening?
Really, really annoying. So he was giving me the look. Okay, I'm trying to talk to these other people, and he's sticking his head around and going, hey, what are you doing? Where's Mike? Where's Michael? Where's Rob? Hey, what do you got? What are you doing? You want to play foosball? So he's like, just annoying me. He turned his head, and I took an ice cube out of my diet soda, and I whipped it across the room, and I banged him right in the head with it. Now, it was perfect.
Good shot.
Because he didn't know who had shot the ice cube, because everybody hates Jeff Shrinsky.
What a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to say.
So it's not like I was immediately had the spotlight on me. Right, everybody hates Shrinsky. So he looks around the room and he's wondering who it is that did this to him.
And the act of throwing an ice cube in our group, I mean, that's nothing. That's nothing at all.
Nothing.
At this point, then Bobby, our business manager, she thought that that looked like fun.
Right.
And she picked up my entire drink, diet soda, and she went, hey, Jeff! And whoosh, she tossed it all on him.
Oh!
She just drenched him.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to say.
She was having a good time. She was having a very good time.
God. Now that almost made the night worthwhile.
Sure, when you can get anybody doing something like that, you know it's good.
Yeah.
That they weren't supposed to do.
Right.
Amazing.
And then I heard that other stuff went on after I left. That like
it continued on a little bit?
More people, I don't want to say any names, but more people throwing more stuff at more people.
You know, the morale. The questionable morale when things begin to get thrown.
Including our very own Charles Broyhill, who, you know, very rarely drinks.
Right. Yes.
True.
But was drinking heavily on Friday night, drinking like girl drinks, drinking...
Oh, that doesn't matter with him.
Like Slurpee, the Slurpee-type drinks?
He will, if he's doing it... You know, the last time I remember him having anything to drink was at my bachelor party, and at the end of the evening, he was on top of the limousine, sitting Indian style, going 55 miles an hour down the highway. And that's when the cop pulled us over, and that's when the evening ended.
Here's a guy who just doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink. When he does, I mean, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. Hey, Charles Broyhill? I call him as my next witness.
Drinking those foo-foo drinks, huh?
Yeah, with a big long, like, bendy straw.
Ah.
Like the kind of straw you get if you're sick at the hospital or something like that.
He was ready to blow off a little steam.
Where's he at?
Is he around anywhere?
And, you know, he's so unsociable to begin with. I can't imagine. I didn't get to stay there to witness him under the influence of a couple of tropical drinks. But I'd like to know.
Where were you, Greenbelt?
Yeah, I was. In those situations, in those rare situations where you let your hair down and have a drink, do you become a nicer guy or do you retreat more into your tortoise-like shell?
It depends. It goes through a phase. I come out of my shell a little bit, but then the more I have, the more I just sit by myself. I ended up the night playing paper football.
You did?
Yeah.
I guess you didn't miss anything by leaving, Don. I guess you didn't miss anything at the end of the evening.
Were there any more tossed drinks?
A lot of tossed drinks.
Really?
Yes.
It was a drink throw. It was a drink fight.
Yeah, it was mostly Miss Bobby who was throwing everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So she threw more drinks than just Don's Diet Coke.
Oh, many more.
Many more.
Many more.
Many more.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to say.
who was she throwing drinks at?
Just anybody who was nearby. It didn't matter.
Reason being?
She was drunk.
She's not afraid of a biker. There's Mr. Broyhill. Always the delicate handling of the situation.
Oh, now her phone is busy.
Oh, dear.
It's off the hook, and she's in the fetal position under her desk.
Well, you know, at the office party, you always need one person to have a better time than anybody else, and that's good. I'm glad it was her.
So you were the last official person with the show to leave.
Yes, I was.
What time did you end up leaving?
About midnight.
About midnight?
Wow, that's a good long time. Were you feeling okay?
Oh, it's fine. Like I said, I was playing paper football for probably an hour. And then after that...
much stimulus required for Charlie Broyhill.
Yeah, then we started playing basketball with a quarter.
A simple sheet of paper folded in that special way.
You know what? When we go on the road this time, I want to play... Oh, get out of here, Charles. I want to talk about you. I want to play a game. Well, we'll have Charles, like, at an airport.
Okay.
Sitting and reading a newspaper.
Right.
I don't know exactly how the game will work, but I bet that if you did an informal poll of people and said to them, there's one retarded guy sitting over here by gate 28, he would be the one that you would spot, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't know exactly how you do that. You stop Mr. and Mrs. Traveler.
Or you tell the people at the gate, you know, the gate attendants, you know, could you please get him for us? They immediately go to him in the crowded airport. Yes. I see your point exactly.
I don't know exactly how that would work, but...
Maybe give him a little tiny table to play paper football on, just with himself going back and forth and back and forth.
Do you think he would sit? Do you think he would sit there with some kind of a can or something that says, help those in need?
Please help. Please help. He'd get a lot of takers,
sure.
Do you think so?
Well, people, I think, walking by, you put him in the right environment, and people would immediately think that he had some sort of challenge.
Well, keep in mind that one time, did we do an experiment with you, Rob, where we sent you out as a homeless guy to see how much money you could get with a sign on the street?
Yeah, we had free lunch the whole rest of the week, all three of us. Made a lot of money.
All right, well, maybe when we go out to San Diego this week, we'll do that experiment with Charles Broyhill.
He's ready for some sort of experiment. You know, he's been on the road with us now a couple of times. He needs the experiment.
Stay there, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Take one.
Quiet, please.
Recording.
Go again. I found a way to cook.
Take two.
I found a way to cook extra crispy. Come on over and try my crispy. It's entirely different, and yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger licking good. Right? You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy. I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, real crispy chick crust. Yet it's entirely different. No, they don't.
This will be Wild Lines 30, take one.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Start again.
He said cut it.
Go ahead.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. Yet tender and juicy. Is that it? Yeah.
That's right, cut it.
It's better.
Take two.
Colonel, if you read it. Hey, we're recording!
So, now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe.
Take three.
It's entirely different. It's entirely different. Whatever, but it's, now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let me get that scratched off of there and quit looking at it.
Quiet, please!
That real crusty... Real what kind of damn crispy crust? It's really different. Now you can have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe and my new Extra Crisp.
Crispy.
New Extra Crispy. I thought I said that. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. It's entirely different. It every bit as finger-licking good, you see. No, every bit of his finger-licking good. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down to get that real crispy crust some folks like. I better do that again, huh?
Yes. All right.
You don't want me to sing, do you, for Christ's sake?
We're rolling. This is the good one. Take five.
Most folks have heard about
it. All right, that's good. Good, very nice.
That's why folks call it finger. That's why folks call it finger.
Sounds good.
That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good.
Right, I'm not getting anywhere with this damn thing.
Okay, fine.
The Don and Mike Show.
I used to be with it. Then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it. And what it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
They will do you proud every time. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Now, in the last segment, Don and Mike were talking about a ratings party and how the regulars at the party didn't like we of the radio station at their bar. Well, during this segment, it's a follow-up. Broomhilda, the waitress at that bar, calls Don and Mike, and hilarity ensues. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to let you know I'm a flight attendant for an airline.
Stu.
And below 10,000 feet, there are no portable electronic items that are to be turned on whatsoever.
All right,
no matter what major airline you're on.
Hmm. You're sure about that?
I'm positive. Now, if you...
Then how does Dan... Hold on.
If you decided to do that, I would be very surprised.
How does Dan Rather manage the broadcast from airplanes?
That's what, when he's landing? Or is it above 10,000?
Yeah, when he's landing.
That's what I'd like to know.
Oh.
I would definitely like to know that, because...
All right, all you smarty pantses. Listen, like I said, it might not happen, but I'm telling you, we have a better than 50% chance of doing it.
Wow. What airline are you flying on?
I'm flying Montgomery County Airlines.
Yes.
We're going to be flying out of Montgomery County Airport. Why do you care?
Why do I care?
Yeah.
I'm just curious because I'm a flight attendant, and we're told on board that one of our announcements, any portable electronic...
Yes, I understand, but what if you got a special pass from the people at the airline? You never heard of that before?
Again, I don't know how you'd receive that, and I'd like to know how you do receive it.
Don has a tremendous amount of clout.
This reminds me of the guy that called us last week and said because he had never experienced it, he didn't believe in cow tipping.
I'm not saying I don't believe it.
I know something we...
I would like to know.
Are you the kind of...
permission.
Are you the kind of flight attendant that really lays into people if you're like 1 inch...
Absolutely.
If you're 1 inch...
Not unless it has to do with your safety.
Are you a senior flight attendant?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Nurse Ballbricker.
No, I'm very good. No.
You'd be one of the stews. I'd be disappointed to see you up in my section. I'd go, oh.
No, I've got...
Look, I got the prison matron up here.
Can
I have a glass of orange juice, please? Sit down and shut up. The plane is not at the gate yet. Sit down, a-hole.
I've got a very good reputation. I've got many complimentary letters.
On your train.
What a horrible thing to say.
Respectful, that statement alone.
Come on.
Me as a flight attendant, that's ridiculous. I know it hasn't happened.
Hey, hold on. I'm speaking about a true story that happened in the news.
I know you are, and I think it's absurd.
It has happened,
but it's...
Hey, Nurse Ballbricker, what is the worst thing that's ever happened as far as a patron, a customer, getting out of hand on your airline?
The worst thing I experienced
was
foul language said to me.
Really? Why?
Uh-huh.
What did you do?
Because I was trying to brief an exit row according to our FAA regulations.
That happened a couple of times a week for you.
What a horrible thing to say.
And that man was Werner Klemperer. Do you have much fun when you're flying?
Never, Mike.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I guess that answers my question.
You don't have a lot of fun in your job. I mean, I know.
I have a tremendous amount of fun.
You sound like you're a little, a little caught up with the power trip, frankly.
No way.
Well, listen, just be listening
Friday. Absolutely no way.
Be listening to the show Friday.
Right now, because I'm on my way back to work. So.
Well, have a safe flight and be listening to our show on Friday. I bet we get our wings.
Okay. Will do.
I bet the towels are really lukewarm when you hand them out, too. Right?
No. They're quite warm.
They're quite warm?
Yeah.
Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
What is that?
Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Oh, I don't want to say that, then people will know who I am.
Oh, yeah. If you say the celebrity you resemble, yeah, then you know, out of
absolutely
a million and one flight attendants.
I've told I look a lot like her, so I won't even say it.
I bet you look like Roseanne's mother. Who's the lady who plays Roseanne's mother on TV?
Shelley Winters.
Yeah. I wouldn't be a flight attendant if I did, probably.
I know, I'm getting that wrong. Who's Roseanne?
Well, that's her that's your grandmother. I had the one. I know who you're talking about.
The mom is not fat.
Yeah, it's the lady that was in Bonnie and Clyde. That's the only movie I remember her from, and now she's an older woman. Not to say that you're
a horrible thing to say.
What? I can't say.
What?
I can't say too much about that because I don't know her.
You don't know who?
Roseanne's mother.
But you can say a lot about FAA rules.
Wow.
Well, that's because we're trained about FAA rules.
Do you get hit on a lot as a flight attendant?
Come on.
Yeah.
WW2, baby.
Somewhat. That does come along with the job.
Oh, we're really just having a little fun here, ma'am. Don't you understand that? Hello?
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 We're trying to have a little fun. You know?
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah, listen, please return your trays to the upright position. And put your seats all the way back up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to the first flight attendant that's been issued handcuffs.
Oh, you got that totally wrong.
I said, put that tray table up. Well, I guess you'd like to spend the rest of the flight in these,
mister.
No.
Mister.
Not that way at all.
I told those disc jockeys they can't broadcast from an airplane. It's against the FAA rules.
Let me tell you something, sir. If you continue to speak in that loud voice, you will be gagged.
Well, thank you for whatever. Thank you for being you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that gigantic bouffant hairdo of yours.
Have you ever given a customer a bottle of wine upon leaving your airplane?
Before they leave the aircraft?
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
That's like Mike's stew test.
I've got a collection. I have a collection of bottles of wine.
Mike normally makes a lot of friends on a flight.
I've gotten 3 over the years. Very proud of that.
Thank you.
That's good. That's good for you.
Thank you.
Never from anyone like you, though.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
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 Oh,
man.
Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Bill here. And I work for the FAA. You need to get a waiver from your local flight standards district office that controls your airline. And waivers are not that hard to get.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have to certainly meet certain requirements.
I'm a waiver.
Specifications.
Oh, yeah, I know you.
I'm a big waiver.
I got to get you a straitjacket when I travel with you. Am I going to wave at everybody?
Hi, pilots.
So, anyway, it does matter which airline you're flying on, though, because the flight standards district office that controls the airline.
We are flying on the airline that has the lowest possible standard. Well, no, I don't.
What a horrible thing to say. Yeah.
I don't mean it.
That was a horrible thing to say.
The airline that we're flying on is the greatest, and we'll just wait and see what happens Friday.
Yeah.
No, there is a procedure to do it.
No, we've got people who are...
And good luck to you.
We're people who are doing whatever it is that you're talking about. See, those are the things that we don't have to worry about.
Right.
Great.
We got somebody here. Somebody, I think, was handling it for us.
But anyway, for all airline stewardess was wrong in that the FAA always makes waivers for things that are important enough, and obviously it's very important.
I don't doubt that flight attendant has been wrong many times.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Wow.
And I don't believe anybody ever hit on her.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hello, Don and Mike?
Except maybe a gay lady. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Hi.
Hey, Mike. Hey.
Hello. What a horrible thing to say.
What a horrible thing to say.
Hello.
Hey.
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 I'm a captain with U.S. Airways, and I got the answer for your question.
What's that?
Number one, they don't know. That's the reason you can't use them.
Who doesn't know?
The FAA. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows what.
What effect it might have on the airplane. Now, we've had airplanes. Sure. We've had airplanes when somebody turns on a device and things and goes off. It's on autopilot and everything. It goes 40 miles off course. As soon as they turn it off, it goes back on course.
All right, so maybe we'll do that. If the plane goes 40 miles off course,
never say never.
We'll turn it off.
But that's fine. But just make sure when you're landing or wherever you're going, you don't want to be at.
Let me just
300 feet and find out you're.
Let me just stop you for a second,
yeah.
Please. We wouldn't do anything that violates any rule, and furthermore, we would have the okay of the airline.
Right, I understand that, but you wanted an explanation why it doesn't. The reason they don't allow it because they don't know. Right.
They don't know what can happen. Okay, that's fair. That's
okay.
Fair.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Major Tom.
This is ground control to Major Tom.
Hello.
Yes.
Don and Mike show.
How you doing?
Great.
Do you guys have to catch Regis and Kathy C this morning?
Yes.
No.
In New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yes. Mike, did you notice how tense she was this morning?
Well, I was really, can I be honest with you, sir?
Sure.
I wasn't really concerned about looking at either Regis or Kathy Lee. I was simply waiting for Richard Simmons.
Oh, hold on, let me interrupt you.
Of Richard Simmons.
Let me interrupt you for just a second, Mike. Broomhilda from the restaurant is on the telephone.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh, this could be...
You thought we had fun with that flight attendant.
This could be a sticky wicket.
Hey, Broomhilda, how you doing,
yes,
baby?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you guys?
Just fine.
We're the stuck-up disc jockeys.
Yeah, I know. I heard somebody called me and told me you guys were on the radio insulting us in our restaurant.
Oh, no, we weren't insulting you.
Broomhilda.
We've never said the name of your restaurant.
And we never said your name. So
your name is Broomhilda.
if your name happens to be Broomhilda, then we're in trouble.
My mother's name happens to be Hilda.
Hilda.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway,
we want to know if you guys are going to come over and pay for the bar stools that you broke that you were sitting on.
Oh, that's very funny.
Mm, you're very funny.
Well, are you?
No.
That food is dog food?
Oh.
What do you eat at home?
What?
What do you eat at home?
Not what you were serving up at that place.
You didn't even eat here.
Boy, oh boy. Hey, you're nasty.
Yeah, so are you.
No, you were the one who started it.
Now listen.
You should interrupt somebody eating dinner. No one in this restaurant would even know who you two fatzos are.
How? You did.
Yeah, some ladies wanted to speak to you.
And what did we say? What did we say? We said we didn't want to interrupt everybody in the restaurant having dinner.
No, you weren't going to interrupt anyone.
So,
no one knows who you guys are.
So when you interrupted us in the middle of our party, we said, why don't you bring those people over? And that's when you introduced us as the stuck-up disc jockeys, when all we were trying to do was accommodate.
Make a joke. You can dish it out.
We were trying to accommodate. What do you mean, can dish it out?
We can dish it out.
I'm joking with you.
We were after hours sitting there trying to enjoy our little work party when you thrust yourself.
And listen, if you want to talk to us,
it's big.
To myself, I should have just punched you in the face.
Oh, my. Now a little threat of physical violence.
What is your problem, baby?
You must be afraid.
This breakfast was not 100% guaranteed. I eat here all the time.
Listen, your place is your place is like prison.
And what did you say on your way out the door?
You left any time.
I did.
I left as soon as possible.
Well, your party stayed here till 2 in the morning.
Well, they have no class.
But you work with them.
It doesn't mean that they have any class.
Okay.
You know something? We left very soon. I was curious what you were saying after you introduced us as the stuck-up guys. You said something on your way out, and then you didn't have the guts to stay behind and repeat what you said.
It was nothing.
What did you say?
I can't remember what I said.
Can't remember now.
I think I remember what you said. Write myself a note. Must lose 300 pounds.
What, to me or you?
No, listen. You want to get on a scale, honey?
When you said that?
You want to get on a scale?
Yeah.
You're just an awful, mean-spirited old witch.
Nice. You're a nice guy.
You know, the whole thing started when we said, bring those people
over. I'm nice
over.
To anybody that's nice to me.
I was joking with you when I brought them over to you.
Well, you sure didn't have a disposition that said that. You had a disposition of a tired, old, run-down, weather-beaten, road-dragging.
Well, if you worked here, you would be too.
That's exactly what I've been saying all along, and you're so mad at me for saying that.
I'm not mad at you.
You can call me Broomhilda.
That's the first true thing you've said, though.
What?
Well, the first true thing is that you'd be tired and run down if you worked in that joint. I agree with you there.
All right.
But
are you guys all done insulting me?
Well, no. I mean, the thing was,
talking about you during the commercials.
it just irritated me that you brought those people over and we said, hey, no problem. We'd like to bring them over here. But somehow you didn't dig that, did you? Tell me the truth.
Because you came up to us with an attitude to begin with.
And you didn't like you didn't like the fact that we didn't want to go into the restaurant and we wanted them to come into the party room where we were having the party, into the bar. You didn't like that, did you?
Well,
you didn't.
Well, because one of the ladies that wanted you to come over was the owner's wife. So I thought it would have been nice of you to at least make an effort. That was all.
Hold on. Let's just stop for a second. Okay. What we said to you was in no way disrespectful, rude, pompous, or arrogant. You said there's a couple ladies in the restaurant that would like to meet you.
Yeah.
I said to you, I feel awkward walking out in the middle of a restaurant.
I felt the same way, and then I said to you, why don't you just bring them over into the party room? We'd love to meet them. Exactly what I said.
Them over to you.
Yeah, and then but you had a problem with it, didn't you? You didn't like it, did you?
I just thought you were too cool.
Why is it too cool?
The same reason why you think I'm a bitch.
I think you're a bitch.
Why would we have said, bring them over here, bring them over here, and we would like to meet them? Why is that being too cool? How is that being too cool?
You understand that perhaps it'd been the end of a long day. I'm a little shy in real life, and I don't want to traipse through a restaurant with Broomhilda in front of me going, hey, everybody.
Wasn't even going to do that. Why was I going to go, hey, everybody?
But why do you think we're being too cool?
Why do you think I would do that?
I'm asking you a question that you have not answered yet.
How is it being
too cool to say, hey, we don't want to go into the restaurant, but we'll have them come over here. Do you mind doing that? And you said yes. How is that being too cool?
Because I didn't see anything wrong with you coming over to the table and saying hello to these people.
Well, that's not your decision to make. Our decision to make.
I said that would make us feel awkward.
And that's our decision to make. That's not your decision.
I feel awkward.
But that's not your decision to make. I mean, the fact that...
I can't believe that you're in the food service business. I can't believe this.
I've been doing this forever.
I really can't believe this.
Oh, I can't believe you're on the radio. All you guys do is copy Howard Stern. Everything you do, you copy.
Like what?
So
everything.
Why don't you go ahead and...
All the noises you make, all the sayings you say, everything
like what?
You do.
Like what?
Your whole show.
Like what?
Give us an example.
Oh, God.
No, go ahead. You made the
because
statement.
I'll tell you how very much your food is like dog food. Because I had a guy in here eating dog food last week.
You didn't even eat any of the food.
I saw the consistency of the dog food.
You saw the food, therefore it was dog food.
Actually, it was several coworkers who really did seriously say to me, "The food tastes like garbage."
They said that to us. Too. They said they loved.
Well,
the food.
I think they were drinking.
I
and
think
your booze tasted the same.
I think you're trying to imitate a good restaurant.
Which one?
You name it, baby, because you're the bottom of the barrel.
You have to try the food before you even say that.
It sounds to me seriously like you have a hidden agenda, like you had an attitude going into this. You had an attitude about our show and about us before approached us. And I'd like to point out,
you were putting down this place.
You approached us.
And you know what?
People
you know what?
Our restaurant and telling us that you guys
well, then,
are
then those people,
before you even got
then
here.
Those people must be psychic because we never said the
you
name.
Said,
tell me something. Do you eat with that mouth? Well, obviously you do. I've got a look at you. I got a good look at you. You are pathetic.
What are you?
You know something? We never mentioned your restaurant during the entire... We never mentioned your restaurant by name.
Never.
Ever. And
never.
We still haven't. Something you might want to remember.
That's because we can sue your fat asses.
Sue us for what? Oh, my God.
Wow. Well,
hey, that's right. That's out of the shoe. Where'd that come from?
What a horrible thing to say.
What a horrible thing to say.
I bet my wife is glad she didn't come now. What an awful woman that lady is.
Nasty, nasty. Hidden agenda.
All right, honey.
Nice lady.
You stay there. I'll go there when management changes. When the current format flops.
Absolutely. It's under new management, right? That's supposedly, and we can tell that the management's just
that's
doing a super
management.
Job of it.
Jesus, kiss my ass.
What a horrible thing to say.
Oh,
what a horrible thing to say.
Right. I'm starved. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, thanks for picking me up, man.
Yeah, no problem. I've been driving for like 15 hours straight, so I could use the company.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been standing in the same spot for 5.5 hours. You know they made it illegal to hitchhike in this state?
Really? Oh, that must make it really tough.
So, what's going on with you? You a salesman, or?
No, I'm nothing.
I am.
Yeah?
I'm a salesman.
I'm going to start my own company.
Really?
You want in?
Uh,
Nah, I'm not. I don't really have any, you know, money or.
You heard of this thing, the 8-minute abs?
Yeah, sure, 8-minute abs. Yeah, the exercise video. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, this is gonna blow that right out of the water. Listen to this. 7-minute abs.
Right. Yes. Okay. All right. I see where you're going.
Think about it. You walk into a video store, you see 8-minute abs sitting there. There's 7-minute abs right beside it. Which one are you going to pick, man?
I would go for the 7. Yeah.
Bingo, man. Bingo. 7-minute abs. And we guarantee just as good a workout as the 8-minute, folk.
You guarantee it? How do you do that?
You're not happy with the first 7 minutes. We're going to send you the extra minute. Free! See, that's it. That's our motto. That's where we're coming from. That's from A to B.
That's right. That's good. That's good. Unless, of course, somebody comes up with 6-minute abs, then you're in trouble, huh?
No! No, no, not 6. I said 7. Nobody's coming up with 6. Who works out in 6 minutes? You won't even get your heart going, not even a mouse on a wheel.
That's 6 points.
7's the key number here. Think about it. 7 elevens?
Yeah.
7 dwarfs? 7, man, that's the number. 7 chipmunks twirling on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my uncle's ranch. You know that old children's tale from the sea? It's like you're dreaming about gorgonzola cheese when it's clearly free time, baby. Step into my office.
What?
Because you're freaking fired.
The Don and Mike Show.
I wish we were really big, like Dylan and Stones.
What do you mean big? We're as big as anyone. We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
Stiffalicious, the Don and Mike Show.
Right, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Ardinger. How's it going, everybody? Hope you had a great weekend. It's a good-looking Monday out there. Now, in the next segment of Don and Mike play a game, and that game is It's All Relative. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Is this a little one?
I got a booger there? Oh, there it is. Oh, you're right. Oh,
it was
boy.
Just, it was the kind where it was difficult to continue.
I had a little crusty. It just blew my nose.
A little crunchy.
Hey, Rob?
Yeah.
Get out a bag and bag that up for the fans.
Right up.
I'm sure somebody wants one of my dried boogers. I actually did send a guy a booger one time.
You sent a guy a booger? Oh. Here, and I remembered when you did that the last time.
Little gag reflex?
Just a tiny little gag reflex, but he received it because he called us after he got it, and he saves it.
All right, here is... Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
I just want to say, a guy who wasn't my buddy would have probably just let me keep doing a show with a big booger hanging out of my nose.
I would not have let you go home with that tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know
you do the same with me.
Maybe.
You don't give the hand signal. You would go, hey, you got a giant booger hanging out of your nose.
Is this Kelly?
Yes.
Hello, Kelly.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Kelly. Where are you from?
I live in Gettysburg, Maryland.
All right. Listen to the mighty WJFK, and for that, we are thankful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to be calling. Is this your sister, Melissa?
Yes, it is.
All right. I'll tell you how we play the game. We'll have 3 questions for you and your sister. For each question you get correct, we'll give you a fabulous prize. And if you get all 3 right, bingo, you get 50 American dollars.
Wonderful.
50 dead presidents, as the kids say.
All right.
So okay.
Let's find out a little bit about you guys now. Kelly, are you married?
No, I'm not. I'm single.
How about your sister?
Yes, she is.
How long?
Oh, wow. About 8 years.
About 8 years. And what about you? What's your background with guys?
I've had a few boyfriends.
New boyfriends.
I guess you could say, yeah.
All right, Kelly, I think we know enough. Here's the first question, one of our standard questions.
Okay.
What is your sister Melissa's bra size, her current bra size?
I'm going to say a 36B.
Ooh.
36B.
Yes.
All right.
Very handsome.
All right, question number 2, Kelly.
All right.
What member of your family, and this can be extended family or immediate family.
All right.
Which, and this is a new one, which member of the family has the worst breath?
Oh, you're asking me to be mean.
No, not us.
I'll say my brother-in-law.
What's his name?
Randy, her husband.
Randy. All right, now, I'm going to ask you, before I decide which answer I'll accept, let me ask you about yourself. Kelly?
Yes.
How many times have you experienced...
Never.
What about your sister?
Never.
Oh, that's tough.
Guarantee it.
What about your sister's husband?
I'd say once.
Once. That's what we'll go with.
There you go.
How many times has Randy experienced?
And the answer would be once.
All right, hold on. We're going to call Melissa right now, Kelly. Hold the line.
The answers were 36B, bad breath is Randy, and Melissa's husband has had once.
That's also Randy. Maybe that's why he had bad breath.
Well, that's right. It is Randy.
Kelly?
Yes.
Okay, we're dialing Melissa's number now.
All right.
Oh, she lives in Fred Neck, Maryland.
That's right.
I hope she's there. Those are good answers. Terrific
Thank
answers.
You.
That's a good speech.
It's a good speech.
Aw, dag nabbit.
Oh, she's not there.
Oh, Clayton.
It's okay?
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Always
Bye.
Makes it so tough when they're not at home.
Darn it. All right, let's try Jocelyn. Jocelyn?
Yes.
Hi, Jocelyn. Where are you from?
Sacramento.
Who are we going to be calling?
We're going to be calling my sister, but I just realized I gave the person that works for you her work or her home number rather than her work number, and she's at work. Can I change that number?
Yeah, sure. Let us get our information from you, and then you can give him the number, okay?
Okay, got it.
Let's see. Who are we going to be calling here? Your sister?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? How old is she?
Her name's Charmy.
Charmy?
Yep.
Like the bathroom tissue?
Kind of.
All right.
And how old is Charmy?
She's 29.
29. I'm home, Charmy. Are you married, and is your sister married?
No, we're both single.
Both single.
Ooh, party girls.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then let me ask you, what size bra does Charmy wear?
Oh, she doesn't really even need a bra, so I'll say like a 34A.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, my.
Oh, mosquito bites.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if you can match Charmy. I'm going to modify this a little bit. What member of your immediate family or your extended family has the worst teeth?
The worst teeth.
The worst teeth.
Oh, no.
Like bad, rotted green.
Oh, bummer. Oh.
Come on, Jocelyn.
My little brother.
And what's his name?
Taylor.
Taylor.
Taylor. All right, now I'm going to ask you the same questions that I asked the other gal. How many times have you experienced?
Never.
How about your sister, Charmy?
I'll say she's tried it once.
Yeah, all right.
All right, hold on, and you can give that number to Cannon. Cannon, would you pick up line 3 real fast and get that information, please?
The answers were bra size 34A, bad teeth Taylor, and Charmy's at it one time.
And here comes the number now. Come on, guys. Here it comes.
It's nice to be important.
It's coming. Here it comes. Oh, now Rob's left the room. There you go.
He fell out of the room.
Robert Spiewak, thank you. At the control, and here's the number.
Yeah. We are now calling Charmy. We will ask Charmy the 3 questions. If she matches Jocelyn's, she will win a prize.
Right. All right, let me conference these together. Jocelyn on line 3. Jocelyn?
I'm here.
All right, beautiful. There's the number at your sister's work.
That's right.
All right, got an extension. John and Mike, we're on the air.
I believe the name of the business was Coffin and Wheeze.
Coffin and Wheeze. Turn your head.
This is Charmy.
Charmy.
Hello, Charmy.
Hello.
Charmy, hello. This is Don and Mike, and we're doing a radio show right now, and we have your sister Jocelyn on the line with us.
Oh, my God.
Say hi, Jocelyn.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
Hi, sister.
Hey, Charmy.
Yes.
Charmy.
Yes.
Charmy. Hey, Charmy.
There's something about that name.
Hi, Charmy. Well, it was very, who's the dead guy, the fat dead guy? Oh, Chris Rock.
Yes.
Charmy.
Charmy, don't hide from your feelings, Charmy.
Ask my sister. She'll tell you I never hide from my feelings.
Well, we'll find out. Listen, Charmy, if you have time to answer 3 quick questions about yourself.
No time. Need sleepy.
You can win some nice prizes for yourself and for your sister.
All right. Great.
All right.
Are we on the air right now?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Yes, of course.
Go for it, Charmy.
Here's the first question. Charmy.
Yes.
Charmy.
Charmy.
What is your current bra size?
It's pretty much 0.
No, but when you wear a bra, what size?
32A.
Oh, olive oil.
Boy, you know, in a way, she matched her sister. Her sister said 34A, but...
Mike, let's ask the judges.
Okay. No.
No.
Oh, that's
no, absolutely
no.
nothing
that's
about
a,
pricing.
That's a shame.
And she was trying to give me a little extra, I guess, huh?
All right, well, let's see if we win a prize for you here.
All right, Charmy, here's question number two.
Okay.
What member of your family has the worst teeth?
The worst dental work. Who's got the worst teeth?
The worst teeth.
The worst teeth.
Huh. Good question. Probably our brother Taylor.
Taylor!
Yeah.
Way to go!
Is she right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, now listen, you've each won a prize. A Men in Black hat.
Woo-hoo. All right.
And a Men in Black CD, and we'll give you a free showing of Men in Black on your local pay-per-view.
Very cool.
Now this is the one that could win you an even bigger prize. And maybe win your sister $50.
Okay, and she needs it.
Charmy. Hey, Charmy.
Yes?
Charmy. How many times have you experienced...
How many times have I experienced what? I can't believe you guys would ask me that question.
How many times, Charmy?
Please don't make us explain it.
Come on, Charm.
What was the answer?
Zero.
Zero.
Oh. I'm sorry. Listen, your sister told us you've done it at least once.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's no money. You only get the Men in Black stuff.
Sorry, sister.
It's okay.
All right. Charmy, Jocelyn, thank you both.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll try this with one more couple, okay?
When is this going to be on the radio?
This is on right now.
Oh, my God.
It's on right now. We'll try this with another couple. And I think we've already got calls. I didn't have to pimp for calls. So stay right there. Now let's see. I don't know. You know, it's so hard to tell who might be good.
Mm-hmm.
We got a girl who has her sister who goes to college.
All right.
We've got another girl.
A girl.
Girl. With a brother.
Good boy.
And then we've got a guy with a brother. Which would you like to try on for size?
Let's try the guys. Let's try a guy with a brother.
Yeah. Here is Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Sacramento. Hi, Mike. Doing great?
Good.
Going to be calling your brother Pat, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Pat and Mike.
Okay. Mike?
Yes, sir.
Okay, turn down your radio.
It's off.
Okay. How old are you and how old is your brother, sir?
I'm 31. He's 28.
Okay. You guys close?
Somewhat.
All right, here's the first question for you.
Sure.
What was the name of the first girl... No, that might be too easy. I bet he would know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever did?
Yes, yeah. You, Mike.
Oh, God, that's going to be a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Liz Notice.
Liz?
Yep.
Notice.
Liz Notice.
Nice.
Ooh, nice.
Bueno.
Gusto.
All right, Liz Notice.
Yeah. Hmm.
Take notice of me.
I want to be noticed.
What was that?
She was very noticeable.
Noticeable. Okay, how about a second question, Mike?
Who's got the worst breath in your family?
The worst breath would be my mom's boyfriend, John.
Your mom's boyfriend, John.
No hesitation answering that one.
What about your mom's boyfriend, John? How many times do you think he's experienced?
Yeah, it's... I want to say, half a dozen maybe.
Really?
Wow.
All right, we'll go with that.
He's an older guy, so, you know, you figure he's got a lot more years than
six times.
All right, hold on.
Hold the line. And you know, it is his mom's boyfriend, so there is a legitimate follow-up question there. We won't ask it just yet.
But we will.
All right, it was Liz Notice, John...
Six.
And six.
All right, here is
It Will Fascinate You.
Pat. Hello?
The telephone number you have dialed is intended for outgoing calls only. Incoming...
Hold on. Maybe I'm misdialed. Hold on.
All right, the answers once again were Liz Notice, John, the boyfriend of the mother with the breath, and John himself has done six times. What else can you say?
You can't say much more. Hello? There it is.
Oh, jeez.
We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
All right, hold on.
Oh, Johnny. Pat, Mike, and John and their story. Seems like both the boys and the boyfriend seem to be no stranger to that.
Hope he's there. Hello, is this Pat?
Yes, it is.
Hey, hi, Pat. This is Don and Mike, and we're doing our radio show right now, and we have your brother Mike on the line.
Mike, say hi to Pat.
Hey, Pat, what's up? What's up, Mike?
Hey,
how you doing, man?
Listen, my friend could give you a chance, if you've got a second, to win some prizes for your brother and maybe win some cash.
Mike, why would you want to do this to me? What if I lose, bro?
Listen.
Hey, man.
Everybody on the Don and Mike show's a winner.
That's right. You're a winner as soon as you're on the show.
So we're going to give you a chance to answer three real simple questions about yourself and your family. And if you match your brother's answers, you guys will win.
Okay.
All right, Pat, here's the first question. What's the name of the first girl that your brother Mike...
Oh, damn.
Can I give him a hint? No.
No, come on. Oh. And you know what? We'll take just the first name. You don't even need the last name.
Liz Notice.
Hey! Way to go. You got it, Pat. Excellent job.
Very nice. Pat, you've won the FX Major Movie Sunday Video Action for you and your brother.
All right, question number two, Pat. What member of the family has the worst breath?
This should be...
No.
Who?
Joe.
Oh.
John's got the worst breath. Come on now.
Joe Javitis. Come on, Joe Javitis.
Come on,
Joe's got the worst breath in the world.
Joe Javitis. Now, Pat, Mike said it was your mom's boyfriend, John.
That's true. He's a drinker.
All right, well, listen.
I guess this
is his lucky day. That'll explain the next question.
We found out more about him now. Now, here's the big one. How many times has your mom's boyfriend, John, experienced...
Experienced what?
How many times has John experienced...
Oh,
now listen.
Yeah.
The guy said,
I can't. And in many cases, we get upset with that, but in that case, you cannot blame him.
Oh, Rob. Hey, pick up the phone real fast. I used the delay twice there, so it's got to build back up now. Find out what the answer is, Rob.
Pat had a very, very loud exclamation.
Aw, S. And Robbie's getting the answer from him now on the telephone.
He matches Mike's answer. They've gone... they blew it with the Joe.
Oh, we'll give him the money anyway.
Joe Javitis. That
wacky... Oh, he said one?
One.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
That's a shame.
I'm sorry. Well, listen, they win the movies from FX.
Yes, they do. I wish they'll share those movies with Joe Javitis.
Aw, ass. All right, thank you, Mike. And thank you, Pat.
Aw, ass.
And we want to thank everybody for joining us.
Yes, especially Mike, Pat and Mike.
And don't forget Johnny.
And Joe Javitis.
Johnny with a bad breath and the drinking problem.
Yeah, he's a drinker, Don.
All right. Let me get these guys back on. Hey, Mike?
No, Pat.
Pat?
Yeah.
Pat, listen, you can't use that kind of language, Mike.
I forgot I was on the air.
That's okay. We're glad you were comfortable with us.
Well, listen,
okay, no
you guys,
problem.
You guys win the Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff, and Pat, your brother Mike thought that John has had... Six times.
I don't even know what that means. What do you mean you don't even know what that means?
Well, he said you've done it at least once. Twice, maybe three times, he said, right?
Three times.
Yeah.
Steven, you're giving, pal.
Yeah, but Mike, how the heck am I going to know how many times John's done that?
That's the magic of the game, Pat.
And there was listen, no prize involved, but one last question we wanted to know.
Yeah.
Being as, you know, Mike said he's had... Three times, and he thought you had it. You think John's had it six times. How many times do you think your mom's had it?
I
would say she probably got about three of the six.
Oh.
Three of the six. Was that you, Mike? Mike? Oh, wow. Wait,
you guys got to give me the money on that one.
You're a trooper, Mike.
Crushing, baby.
Three of the six. Hey, you know what? Hey, I'll give you the money. I'll give you $50.
How many times do you figure Joe Javitis has done it?
That's many.
Slow down, guys. Yeah, listen, we'll give you the $50, guys.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the show. Hold on, fellas.
All right.
That's Mike and Pat from Sacramento. We've got to do a break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
J- Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Father. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the sacred time. The time for Don and Mike.
That's right. It's the sacred time for the best of Don and Mike. Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Joe Artinger. Now, getting into this next segment, free to calls. And I guess Don says she's a bad cook. What say you? It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hey, baby.
Hi, sweet peanut. Did you just call me? The phone was ringing as I walked in the door.
Don't call me sweet peanut.
Sorry.
You got an image.
Sweet peanut?
Sweet peanut.
Sweet peanut.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Who knows what that
means? Don't say that 10 times quick.
Yeah.
Sweet pea.
Sweet peanut.
Sweet peanut, 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 sweet peanut. Sweet peanut, sweet peanut, sweet peanut, sweet peanut.
See, because the peanut can get messed up a little bit there.
Dag-nabbit.
That is the first dag-nabbit of the day.
And I'm realizing that dag-nabbit I am using as a crutch when I want to say God damn it.
Oh, really?
Good. Yes.
Well, during the Christmas season, I think that's appropriate.
I'm trying. And also, I'm realizing I'm saying it all the time.
Dag-nabbit?
No, I mean, I'm saying the other all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, 'tis the season for that, too.
Sometimes just creeping into everyday conversations. I did call you, but I don't remember what I was calling you about. It was during a commercial break, so it wasn't anything I want to talk to you about on the air. What?
I'm sure it was important, just like all your phone calls are, my baby.
Hey, my phone calls to you are very important.
Yeah, no, but they're usually, what are we having for dinner?
Well, what are we having for dinner?
I don't know. I just walked in the door. Do you have a request?
Well, how about shake and bake chicken?
No, I made you that 2 nights ago.
I love that.
I know, darling, but you got to be brave. Be a little bit more creative.
Well, then don't ask me that question, because that will always be the answer that I give you.
All right, never mind then.
All right.
Okay. Love you. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. There she is. Very lucky woman.
So I gather from that conversation you will not be enjoying shake and bake this evening?
I don't think so. No. You know, listen, I love my wife. I love her more than anything. But man, she's a rotten cook. She can't make stuff good. Uh-huh. And a lot of times, like if she says she's making a stew.
Right.
Oh, you know what it is? It's mainly just like water with peas and little bits of croutons that are getting all smushed up in there. It's just like...
Not a good savory broth in that
stew?
No,
she just gets everything. You know, I'd like to kill the guy that invented the crock pot. Because that's my wife's out most times.
So you throw a piece of meat in there, and you throw some vegetables in, and then you let you pour water in there, and then it stews in its own juices.
Yeah, I know it does, and I'm not a fan of it.
You're not a stew lover?
No, I'm not a stew studio man.
In any capacity, if you had like the best do you like the beef stew?
You know, I'm not a fan of beef to your level.
Really?
I don't eat generally hardly any red meat at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fat from all the other stuff I eat.
but stews, though, like a chicken stew lamb stew.
All right, I'll give you a good example.
Like a chicken pot pie. How would
perfect. Hold on. I was just going to say, example. She says to me the other night, I called her up during a commercial break, like I did there. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, honey, what's for dinner? Mm-hmm. You know. Chicken pot pie. Well, I thought, hey, it's cold and it's rainy outside.
Delicious, hearty comfort food, as they call it. I love that expression, comfort food.
Yeah. Now, listen, when I think of chicken pot pie,
yes.
I think of, like, an apple pie
right.
That's got, like, chicken in it. You know what I mean? Something that's really made to look like an actual pie.
Which is what it is, really.
Mm, not in my house.
Really? She made a homemade chicken pot pie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Ab.
So, it's a, hold on. I don't want...
Well, I mean,
I don't want to screw up my whole weekend.
A chicken
before
pot
I tell
pie
you about
is like
this.
The crust is on the top, and then you have the chicken underneath.
I will describe it to you.
Okay.
But first, let me make sure I won't ruin my weekend.
Yeah.
Because then I might have to tell you about it just during the break.
Hello?
Hey, bud.
Hey, Dad.
How was school today?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Got a lot of homework this weekend?
Sort of? Yeah.
That's a very evasive... That's a very evasive answer that I'm getting a lot of these days. Got a lot of homework? Well... Yeah, sort of. That means you... Hey, where's Mommy?
Wait there.
Thank you.
Mom, for you!
I'll just find out if I can discuss this topic.
All right.
Can I call Jared?
Because things are going so good with me and my
Hello.
Wife. That's you know, that last argument last weekend, notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, honey?
Yeah, know, I'll make something that everybody likes for dinner. I'll just make them at reservations. It's fine with me. I don't like to cook.
Do you mind if I talk about that chicken pot pie?
But you have to be fair. Just because you didn't like it, you know.
Hold on.
You don't like your foods to touch.
Wait. It wasn't like made in a pie.
No, my mother told me that, and I made it from leftover turkey.
Hold
it was
on.
Right after Thanksgiving, and it was a nice stew.
Hold on. It's in a glass, not a bowl, but a glass pan.
It's in Pyrex, darling. People cook it.
Now that can work,
but there was no crust on the bottom.
There was no crust on the bottom. There were bits.
Well, you got to have crust in a pie.
No, pot pie actually, you can put just crust on the top and then have the stew underneath.
Well, then you probably would have liked this ridiculous concoction.
Sorry,
because
I know
what it was. In the Pyrex, hold on, just let me tell you.
Yes, okay.
You have all of the leavings from Thanksgiving.
It was
really.
You had all of the
good stew.
All the crap that you put in there.
Well, what was it? What specifically? What was in there? Because I really
turkey and peas
and carrots. Just regular stew stuff.
And but with it, like,
is there a nice gravy in there too?
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
gravy if you like water.
Oh, really?
I mean,
okay.
It was a large. It was swimming. It was just swimming in water, and on top.
Hold on.
On top, it was like brown and serve rolls that you would put on top of it.
There are biscuits on top.
Okay. Listen.
You didn't like it.
You know what?
It sucked.
I'm glad I don't have to worry about dinner tonight. You just call your best friends at Domino's.
All right,
goodbye.
Hey.
Oh, dear.
See?
Oh, no. Dear.
Thanks.
Oh, no.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, no. Well, we didn't do anything.
What did we do?
I know.
Now, the only part I agree with you on is if it was a watery gravy.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't real thick, like stewy stuff, which is... But, I mean, like the biscuits on top of turkey with gravy sounds hearty. Sounds good, Rob.
It wasn't,
Rob,
man.
Rob. See, Rob, I could put that with gravy and you'd eat that
shoe. Yeah, I know. Now you just got to make things right at home.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, dear.
What?
Come on. It's a week until Christmas.
Yeah.
That's why I called to say, do you mind if I talk about the chicken pot pie?
Do I mind if you talk about it, and do I mind if you insult me and lie about it are two different questions.
All right. Then how did I lie about it?
It wasn't in water.
Mm.
And you complain if I make stew too thick, because then it's not, you know, you complain either way.
Honey, you've never made a thick stew in your life. You've never made a thick stew in your life.
That's baloney. I make stews, and really the way I'd rather have a soup is soup you could eat with a fork, you know, that kind of soup. I like it thick.
Don't believe her. Listen. I love you. You're the greatest.
You're such a fabricator because
you
just don't like your foods to touch, period.
No, listen. I like a nice chicken. I like a nice chicken pot pie when it's prepared correctly.
Well, good. Then pick up a hungry man on the way home.
Hey, listen. That's what I think a chicken pot pie should look like and the texture it should have when you eat it.
And that's
it should not be wet. It should be flaky.
All right, good.
It should be flaky to the palate.
Good.
How you like that big word?
Yeah.
That means like flaky on your tongue.
Flaky to the palate.
Bart and I loved it. Bart asked for seconds.
Well, he will eat anything you put in front of him.
That's not true. All right. Very. We'll pick up whatever you like, my darling. No problem.
All right. I love you.
Cooking anyway. Good.
What? Hey.
I hate cooking.
I know.
So we
come on. Let's not let this ruin everything.
It hasn't ruined. It's going to make everything better.
Right.
I'm not going to cook anymore, and I'll be happier.
Okay.
And you'll be eating TV dinners, and you'll be happier. And they're already coming in the little divider plates that you like.
You can mock me because I don't like my food touch. I'll tell you this. I never made any chicken pot pie underwater.
What have you made?
What have I made?
Yeah.
Look at that house that you're living in.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I made.
Your own two hands.
That's right. And speaking of building something with your own two
hands. Out of the forest.
Talk about building something with your own two hands.
Yes.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
Have you got a look at that treehouse that we put together a couple of years ago?
No.
Oh, my God. I looked out in the backyard today.
Is it hanging in there?
But the walls are falling off it.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And the roof is falling off. And I said something to Bart about it. I said, what's wrong with that treehouse? I said, Dad, falling apart.
I'm looking at it now.
Maybe you didn't use the pressure-treated lumber.
Well.
I don't think so.
You keep this up. You could be looking at your new bedroom.
All right. I love you, honey.
I love you, too.
I love you.
Goodbye.
I don't love you for your cooking, though.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
All right.
So, anyway. That was... I hate to say that. I mean, I know, but it was highly entertaining. That
it's all right. Yeah. She's not mad.
You know, okay. I think she's fine with that. And
I just hate it when we have something on the air and when I go home and it continues when we're not on the air.
You know, you've had food discussions with your wife before, and sometimes what you describe, at least at a certain point, sounds appealing to me. It sounds like the kind of food that I would actually enjoy. Hey, and I'd love. Sometimes we
didn't. Hold on. We already went through this.
What?
Didn't we go through this 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes.
When we complained, I complained about the food, and she brought some in a Tupperware thing for you to eat. Didn't we already do this?
I don't know.
I think we did.
I don't remember sampling anything.
I think we did.
Maybe I didn't bring it home. I'm not sure, but see, that pot pie, she never did bring anything in. She's never brought anything in.
I think she did.
We talked about doing it.
I think she actually sent something in. Or maybe I was too embarrassed to bring it in.
I think it was a soup of some kind.
That I said sounded really, really good.
Yeah.
And like this pot pie,
typical.
It's typical.
Hey, honey.
You know, the weak link on that, again, my darling, was you. Because I put it in the Tupperware, I gave it to you, and you never gave it to him.
All right, I thought so. I just said I thought I might have been too embarrassed to bring it in. But what was it, though, honey? Was it soup or what?
No, it was a sewer soup. I got to get my other line. Somebody likes my cooking stone. Goodbye.
Sewer soup.
That's what it was.
But, you know, next time you have a big one like that, really, before you even talk about it on the air, just bring in a little sample, and I will give you my honest opinion. I swear to God. But don't do anything to it.
Listen, I won't.
You know, don't do it just to, you know.
I've had plenty of chances to do something to your food.
I know you
over
have,
the years.
Yeah, believe me, I've been aware of a lot of it.
Okay.
I ate it anyway, though.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hello, ma'am.
Hi.
Hello, lady.
I just want to make a complaint. I don't think that's very nice of you to criticize your wife's cooking.
Why? She criticizes everything that I don't do well.
But you're doing it on the air.
Right.
That's not very fair because you shouldn't...
Well, then my wife should have married a guy who, is a dry cleaner or something. Right?
Well, I'm sure her chicken pot pie was very good.
No, it sucks. It's very watery. Listen.
I'll be the judge of that.
Don't take it so personally. My wife's a wonderful woman. She's a wonderful wife. She's my best friend. Blah, blah, blah. She sucks as a cook.
Well,
she knows
it. You should start cooking.
I'm very busy.
Well,
I'm very busy watching television.
Have you ever tried? Have you ever popped into the kitchen and maybe tried your hand at it without any recipe books or anything like that?
I'll tell you exactly why I'm not a good guy for that.
Okay.
Because I'm really one of those guys that if the recipe says 3 hours at 400 degrees, I really, when I noodle it through, and I know it's like a 10-year-old, I go,
right.
Why couldn't you just turn it up to like 800 degrees and cook it for an hour?
Uh-huh.
I don't have the patience to go back and check on it.
You don't need patience to be a cook. You can cook stuff without having a lot of patience. I'm not trying to sell you on it, but I will just tell you that you would be a good chef to like work off with it, with just improvise and throw everything in a pot and then see how it comes out.
Oh, never. I would never.
That's the way I cook.
But you know me. I would never throw a bunch of stuff in a pot together. That's gross.
You know that barbecued shrimp stuff we had down in New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
I make that. I make that myself, and it comes out great. And I don't look at a recipe book. I just throw it all together.
Good for you. I'm happy for it. I really am.
It's very relaxing. It's very stress reducing
for you
to cook.
For you.
For a lot of people.
But not for me.
Okay.
Hello.
Just a suggestion that someday when you have like a block of time, maybe you just wander into the kitchen. You get out a few things. Like, you get the raw materials that you like.
I hate getting my hands dirty. I hate getting that egg yolky crap all over my hands. And you got the goo going everywhere. No, forget it.
Okay.
Forget about it.
Just a suggestion. Hello.
Hi. Well, this is me, so I just want to let you know that...
Oh. Okay. All right, I thought it was another caller.
Well, one more thing. Before you criticize, you should try your hand at it, and then you'll be able to.
I didn't know. That wasn't my point at all. I wasn't saying that. I don't line up with this woman at all.
Listen, who cares what you say? My wife's not a great cook.
Well, there are plenty of recipes that you don't have to get your hands through. It's just the dump method. Just dump everything in, and then just...
Well, you got to have a happy man in your house, then. I bet your husband is real skinny.
Actually, no. He loves my cooking.
Well, good for him.
All right. Well,
good for him.
Happy holiday.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Yes, goodbye.
I bet you cook.
I do. I love to cook. I find it very relaxing.
Am I cooking a nude?
No.
Big chef hat.
Cooks on his boat while he's staring at.
Hello.
Not sanitary.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. I got a...
Chef Buzz. Hello.
Frida and my wife, I think, are separated at birth because my wife's a wonderful woman, but she can't cook worth a damn.
Uh-huh.
Quick question, and we could even put this towards Mike and Buzz.
How about
I was given
it?
two 50-yard line seats to this Sunday's Ravens game. My wife tells me today that there's a family birthday party on Sunday. What would you do, being a football fan?
Well, listen, you're going to lose the argument because the Ravens suck.
Well,
there is no importance to the game at all.
It's the final game of Memorial Stadium, and even though
no.
the Ravens suck, they're free 50-yard line.
You know, maybe you got a point there. That is the last game played at Memorial Stadium.
And the old Colts are going to be there. Johnny Unitas is going to be there. And all
for a lot of people, even though it's the Ravens and they suck this year, it's still NFL football, and, you know, that's tough to get. Who's the family member?
It's my brother-in-law. He turns 21. And
forget that.
Oh, he's an adult.
Listen,
he's a grown man. He won't care.
Forget that.
And it's the Christmas season. I don't want to cause any trouble in the family.
No, go ahead. I'll write you a note.
Okay, well...
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a free. That's get out of jail free.
I think so.
He's 21.
Yeah, come on. What's he going to do, cry?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
My brother-in-law's down here.
Take him out. Buy him a nice night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kind of night that a 21-year-old man likes.
That's right.
You know what we mean.
That's right.
Kind of night that'll make you feel younger, too.
Go out. Mm-hmm. Buy him a nice woman. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Don and Mike show. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, too.
Hello.
Today is Bob Barker's birthday. Today is Frank Sinatra's birthday. And today is also my birthday.
Happy birthday. Listen, how come Bob Barker's birthday is not getting nearly the publicity that Frank Sinatra's birthday is getting?
It's an injustice because, really, I consider Bob Barker to be the greatest entertainer that's ever lived.
And how come everybody is trying to hide Frank Sinatra from us?
Mm-hmm.
How come everybody... Listen, I know he's getting feed out.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, why do I have to read in the paper that he's doing well and he's going to be enjoying 8 different birthday cakes tonight? And
Tony Bennett went to his house and said he looks better than Donald Trump. Hey!
Yeah, right.
Hey, Frank!
How about the truth?
Yeah.
Mr. Sinatra's spokesperson says Frank spent the morning drooling. Spent the afternoon watching his favorite soap operas.
Go, baby!
Did a little more drooling.
Yeah, baby, drool. Drooling for you. Yeah, baby, drool.
Well, listen, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Thank you.
There goes m'lady.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
With an estimated completion date of January 1995.
The plan, if I may, was to complete Hank's Look Around Cafe on August 23rd, this year. That's right, my birthday. Can't move my birthday back. What else does my jackass business manager have to say?
Mr. Kingsley, restaurants rotate when they are at the top of buildings. Your place is at street level. There is no view.
He does not get it. You see, the point is, it's not the view. The point is, when you eat at Hank's, you and your food are going on an adventure.
Maybe you should just forget the rotating floor and get the place going.
Forget the rotating floor. Come on, take a mess. Come on. Come on, come on. Well, sir, thank you. But I am a visionary, so I'd like you to take your opinion and shove it right up your ass. Regards, Hank Kingsley. Fax that back to him.
But he's saying you don't have enough money to make it rotate.
Fine. Then I will get investors. Just so happens I am on a first-name basis with some of the most influential, some of the most powerful people in this business. So... get Chuck Woolery on the phone.
The Don and Mike Show. Keep the secret, my precious love. The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the moonshine.
Right, and good Monday afternoon to you, everybody, and welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on vacation for a couple of weeks. Everything's cool. They didn't get suspended or anything. It's all good. It's all good. In the meantime, we've got the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Joe Artinger. Pleased to be in your presence this afternoon. And on this next segment of Don and Mike, Weekend Troubles for Don and Mike. That's one of my favorite parts of the show, is coming here on Monday and listening to Don and Mike talk about their weekend. So join me. Shout to... is that a word, shout? I don't know, but here it is, the best of Don and Mike.
I had a couple of things from the weekend that I did want to tell you about. You know what? Let me mention this first. You know, if I could do things in chronological order, mm-hmm. but then it would take too long. You mentioned Jerry Maguire.
Yes, Jerry Maguire, the movie. It's all over cable. I watched it this weekend.
Me too. Saturday night, it was on for the first time, I think on Showtime or something ridiculous like that, one of those nutty channels. You know what? Let me start at the beginning so you'll understand where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Friday, we got done with the show. Go home, blah, blah, blah. Saturday, we get up. My kid has a basketball game, our team, at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon.
Right.
Meaning that, you know, if we're going to go to my mother-in-law's up in Ocean City, then we got to wait till late in the day. So my wife decides that she's going to go out earlier. Mm-hmm. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning, and my wife is out. She has her Bo Derek hat on, and she's out with the decorator and, you know, her bolero hat. She's doing whatever it is that she does.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm at home. All day Saturday, I'm at home, me and Bart.
Getting ready for the game.
And the friends. Well, not really getting ready. You know, we got the neighbor up the street that is a coach also, and his kid is Bart's age, and Bart and this kid are real good friends.
Right.
Well, it was about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. I said to Bart, hey, call up the street and see if your friend and his dad want to come down and they want to play a little basketball to warm up a little bit.
Right.
We call up there and we go, no, they're not here. They're already at the gym. They were at the gym scouting all day.
And you're not playing them at your game in the afternoon?
No. Okay. But they had a game like at 1:30,
right.
But they had been at the gym since 9 o'clock in the morning to scout all of the other teams.
He's very serious about it.
So my son and I spent most of the day goofing around. We played some basketball. We played some video game. And then we watched Animal House.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at one moment during that movie, I think when we had to flip the disc over or something,
right.
A real moment of clarity, Bart said to me, Dad, you know what Jarrett and his dad are doing? I said, yeah, they're up at the school scouting games. Mm-hmm. He says, they're up there doing that, and look what we were doing there.
That's cool.
Yeah, we're digging on Animal House.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it was like a nice bonding moment.
Absolutely.
Nice. So then gets to be 3:30, we go. Play the game. Lads win the game. First big victory of the year.
Very good.
Very proud of all of them. Very happy for all of them. Especially for Victor, who is the Japanese kid on my team.
Victor!
The little Japanese kid.
Right.
Well, for this game, he brought his posse with him.
Oh, cool.
He brought his whole family. You had his grandma, who was visiting from Asia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You had a brother and a sister that were visiting from Asia. You had his mom and dad, and like all Japanese families, there's about 100 of them running around. So
what a horrible thing to say.
Well,
that was horrible.
I'm sorry.
What a horrible thing to say.
What a horrible thing to say.
It's a fact. You don't just get one Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
You always get a whole pack of them running around together.
Did they bring cameras?
Yes.
Let's get every stereotype.
Yeah, but they did. And
well, they want a permanent record of the event.
And I loved it. I loved going over and being the ambassador and talking to Victor's grandmother, who didn't speak a lot of English. You know, he says, Victor's coach.
Right.
Coach, he says, grandma. So it's real nice. And then Victor's dad says that this week he wants to help out and he wants to be the guy to run the clock.
Okay.
Because you need a volunteer parent every week to either be the scorekeeper or run the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was okay, except Victor's dad, I'm guessing this is the first basketball game he'd ever been to.
Oh.
Because
he didn't know how to run the clock?
Well, the game would get going and they'd start playing and I'd look up and I said to Broyo, hey, look, Victor's dad hasn't even started the clock yet. And a lot of times on timeouts and junk, when the clock was supposed to start,
just keep running,
the clock wouldn't start, and vice versa.
Uh-huh.
One time when I thought, you know, we should have a lot of time left, I looked up and like I said, has the clock been running for the last 3 minutes? And, you know, and Victor's dad stood there, real proud, though. You know,
right.
Looking at me like ancient Chinese secret.
You know,
looking at me like, I got it done for you, coach. But it was real nice, and
right.
I like meeting with Victor and his family. And
sure.
I got done with that, and I got Bart, and then we went, and we picked up a pal of Bart's, another friend of his, who was going to go spend the weekend with us.
Okay.
So now I've been with my kid all day, which I love, but listen, like everything, you need a little break after a while.
Sure.
It's been all day. It's been the courtship of Eddie's father. It was me and him all day, then the basketball, then we went and we picked up his friend, and then we made the 3-hour drive to Ocean City. So about 8:30, we arrived up in Ocean City, and the whole way up, I've got Bart and his friend back and forth in the backseat.
Yeah.
Amazing. How much you learn about your kid by simply eavesdropping.
Listening to his conversation with one of his contemporaries.
Yeah, and a lot of it is you're having to pick up things because kids, no matter how old they are, they always speak in their own language, and they have lingo. They have abbreviated sentences, and they knew that I was kind of listening, so they would say something, then they'd laugh, and I'd see them each looking down, and they're writing notes, and I'm trying to listen and figure out, you know, and every once in a while, I'd say, hey, what are you guys talking about? They go, nothing, nothing. I'd say, talking about school? Oh, a little bit, Dad. A little bit. Then as soon as I would pay attention, it would get silence.
Silence, and then maybe a little snicker here and there.
Yeah.
He's listening.
Yeah, and then it would start up again.
Right. Did you pick anything out of that during your eavesdropping? Which, I do the same thing. Did you get anything good?
I got some stuff.
Right.
First off, they all call each other by their last names.
Okay.
Nobody in this school calls each other by their first names.
Okay.
Okay. Because that was the first thing I said. I said, well, don't you guys know these guys' first names? I said, yes, Dad. You know, I got that to it. Yes, Dad.
Right.
And then I saw that Bart had something drawn on his hand, which was like a square with some kind of a circle in the middle.
No. Satan worshiping.
I said to him, what is that on your hand? And he said, Dad, I am circle inside square. What is that? I said, Matt, that's his friend. Matt, let me see your hand. And I said, what are you? I am yellow box in square.
Wow, this is pretty heavy stuff here.
I couldn't figure, all this time I'm trying to drive the car 60 miles an hour.
Are they playing a little game?
No, it's something to do with school.
Really?
Yeah. I think it might be like a gang, but I think it's a safe gang. So I don't worry about it. Yeah, I don't worry about it. I don't think there's a lot of roughies in this gang.
Polite gang.
Right, so finally got up to the beach.
Are you sure that's like drawing on his hand? I mean, he hasn't washed those prison tattoos or anything.
It washed off.
Like all of a sudden he comes down to breakfast, he's got a teardrop or something like that.
No. Although a tattoo is the number one item that I get asked about, more so even than an earring or some type of a piercing now.
Wow.
Dad, just a little one. Just on my ankle, Dad.
Oh, man.
And that's what it really makes me feel like the old man, because that's what I have to say.
Yeah.
When you're 18, you can do whatever you want.
It's a smart move. And hopefully you just hope and pray, fall on your knees, that by 18 he's not going to have like every part of his body pierced or something.
I wouldn't mind. Right now I wouldn't mind. I don't think a 12-year-old should have a tattoo.
I don't think so, yeah.
I don't think he should have an earring either, but he's got that fake one that's got like a magnetized back on it that sometimes he'll wear and flip people out with.
Right.
So we finally got home to make all of this as short as possible. We got home. I was beat-ass tired. I got the kids, unpacked all the crap, got them in the house. I sat down, and I turned on the TV, and there's Jerry Maguire. Well, the movie had been on for a couple of minutes, and now I'm kicking back. I have a glass of wine, pull out a cigar, and I'm thinking, this is okay. At this point, my wife came in. My wife has been all day with her friends and with the decorator, and she comes into the house, and she's got a bunch of our friends with them. They've all obviously been out to dinner, had a couple of drinks. They couldn't be happier. It'd been another day of leisure for my wife.
And you're just kicking back, minding your own business.
Right, and they come in and they all want to start talking right away. Meanwhile, I wanted to say, shut up, I'm watching the movie, but I couldn't say it because I'd seen Jerry Maguire before.
Of course. Even though it's a good enough movie where you could thoroughly enjoy it a second time around.
I hadn't seen it for a long time, so I hit the mute button, but then you get the stuff on the screen, like if you're deaf, right?
Closed caption, right.
So I'm able to still follow the movie while the people are there, and they're waiting, and they're talking, blah, 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 blah. Finally, they leave, okay? And I think, whoo, now I can chill. Well, it's at this point that my wife, who's had a glass of wine also, this is the part in the movie when Jerry Maguire comes back.
Where he comes back with the divorce women's group. And
all those women are sitting around.
And he professes the love for his woman.
Yeah, and he's
kind of a pivotal scene in the movie.
I used to be good in a scene like this. I'm not complete without you and all that.
Right.
And it's at that point my wife comes over, and I realize that, it's a little bit of the wine talking, but she leans down and she goes, oh, I love you so much. I love you so much. And it was just pissing me off.
Why?
Because because I had been with kids all day,
right?
And I smelled like kids, and I was stressed out, and I was tired. And she's been off looking at armoires and all whatever she's doing there, looking for some kind of dresser for our bedroom.
It's she's in that moment of total euphoria.
She came
you
in.
You are not.
She came in. She sees the emotion on television.
Mm-hmm.
She sees on television the handsome young man who wears his heart on the sleeve, and she translates that to me.
Which is a good thing.
When in fact, though, I'm not that guy. I'm not. I'm just sitting there going, and she wouldn't stop it. And the more the movie went on, the more the happy stuff in the movie happened,
mm-hmm.
the more that she wanted to sit next to me and go, oh, just let me sit next to you.
Right.
Give me, oh, you're my little Tom Cruise. Oh, she goes, oh, I love you. And I was doing this like, wow. Come on. Get out! I really had this going like, come on, stop it. I said, you're all boozed up and you're just being mushy because of this movie now. Now, you know, and I really have to do this, like, push her away.
Yeah. You're thinking in the reality terms, you're not in that idealistic mood that the movie would put people in.
Right,
and,
right.
And you're realizing that tomorrow you're going to wake up and reality will be better.
Right, well, I wasn't even thinking about it tomorrow. I was just thinking about right now. I was thinking all day, I'm with smelly, loud kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're out wearing your Bo Derek hat. You come in at the last minute and decide, hey, that looks pretty good on TV. I think I'll try that in real life.
So she's being a partner for you when it's convenient for her.
Yeah, well, she wants romance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, romance on demand, and I wasn't in the mood.
You weren't in that mode.
To deliver it. Yeah. So then we sat there, and then I really just put the knife right in my own back.
What'd you say?
She was still watching the movie with me. She's still trying to be real lovey-dovey with me, and I'm still like, come on, knock it off.
What did you say?
She's talking, and it's right towards the end of the movie. And she said, oh, I really love this movie. I remember when we went to see this movie. Do you remember? You really liked this movie. You don't like Tom Cruise, but you like it. I said, listen, hey, shut up. I want to see the commercial. And she says, what commercial? And then I got mad, right? Then I said, wait, you don't know the commercial? I said, the commercial?
The commercial they're hyping.
Reebok paid millions of dollars to be in this commercial. The only thing that was said in the movie about Reebok was when he says, F Reebok. Mm-hmm. So Reebok sued Jerry Maguire, not Jerry Maguire himself, but the company.
Mm-hmm.
And as a settlement, they're putting in the commercial, the fake commercial that Cuba Gooding did, and it's going to run at the end of the movie. And I really want to see it. And then she looks at me, she says, you are pathetic. Go ahead. Watch it. Enjoy it.
Oh, my.
I was in a good mood when I came home, like, bah, 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 boom! Door slam.
Oh, dear.
But I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, at least I'll get to see what I wanted to see. Except, you know, no big deal.
Oh, total letdown.
Big deal.
It was like a legitimate commercial.
Right.
It had nothing to do with
the hollow victory.
It was really, there was nothing funny in it. It was just a dumb commercial.
And then, okay, now, at this point, it's 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are asleep in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
She's still in the bedroom with the door shut.
Right.
I'm still sitting out in the living room.
Right.
In my underpants going, well, now I feel romantic. So now I go, you know, I do this thing. Like, hey. Hey, honey, the door must be stuck. Hello.
Right.
Door must be stuck. Mm-hmm. And I hear from way inside.
It's stuck. It's locked.
Oh, God.
I said, come on. Hey, it's Jerry Maguire. It's Jerry Maguire.
I wish it was Jerry Maguire.
So now I'm stuck out there for another half hour.
Oh, man.
40 minutes. Until finally, you know, I don't know if she thought that I was going to fall asleep out there.
Right.
She broke.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think it's the battle of attrition.
Of course.
She broke.
You broke her.
I was sitting there watching TV.
Right.
And all of a sudden I heard, just very slightly, click.
Mm-hmm.
The sound that says she let the lock go.
Right.
And I mean, I am there.
Right. You're in there as soon as you heard that click.
I am there, and I'm at the door. I go, hey, the door's not locked anymore.
Jerry Maguire's coming to bed.
Said, hey, it's me, Jerry Maguire. Then I had to get the whole, well, I was just, I'm in a good mood, and I went out with my friends, and why do you, but then, you know, it was all right. Worked out okay.
Good.
Everything worked out just fine.
Good.
Although she had to put, you know,
the ups, the downs, the roller coaster.
It's a battle the whole way because then she lets me back in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm laying in the bed and it's obvious that now I'm ready for the romance.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually said to her at one point, I said, hey, how would you like to shut that door? And that's kind of our cue.
Sure, after you kiss and make up, that's a good time for
how would you like to shut that door? And she goes, no thanks, Jerry. And she goes in the bathroom and shuts the door.
Yeah.
So then I'm sitting there. Listen, when you're married and your wife turns you down,
mm-hmm.
that's the worst feeling.
It's a terrible feeling.
Because you know what? Where else are you going to get it?
At that hour.
Nowhere.
What a horrible thing to say.
Well, maybe for you, Buzz, at the hour. But for me, the hour doesn't matter.
At that hour.
You know,
God.
If it doesn't happen, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Right, right.
So then I'm sitting there, and then I'm just kind of, you know, feeling bad for myself, going, oh, you know. Razzle, frazzle, the kids all there, razzle.
Riggins and rolls and reasonizes.
And then she said, okay.
And then it worked out.
Yeah.
You got what you wanted.
Good. Yeah, baby. Yeah, you got Sheraton. You bet. With my
Oh, wow.
It worked out okay. But it's all because of Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire.
If I would have had anything else on Saturday night, it wouldn't have mattered. You know, I wish I would have had Meet Wally Sparks or something on Saturday night. No.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it's got to be Jerry Maguire right away. That's what my wife identifies with.
Yes.
Oh, so in love.
Sure.
He loves her. She loves him.
Yeah, forget about it.
Hey, Mom, I'm sitting there, smelling, stinking. Kids all around, dogs all around, cat all around. Hello.
Now you know how it feels.
Pardon me?
But now you know how it feels. You should have cuddled with her, hugged her. She was feeling romantic. You should have just turned your sound down, you know, like you said you were. And talk to her, seeing what she wanted.
At what point did I ask for advice from anybody listening?
But you know what? The same thing happens in my house all the time. I come in during football or sports center, and I'm like, oh, honey, you know, coming in from a night out or day out shopping or whatever. And he's like, shh, not now. I got to listen to this.
Well, listen, also, I, you know, on behalf of your husband, who wants a woman who's only hot because she's been out drinking white wine or shopping? You know, so I get that some. Well, maybe that's all right with you, Buzz. I see you lifting your eyebrows.
But it makes me feel romantic because I'm out doing my thing, and he's watching the kid. And, you know, I think that's really special, and that gets me in a romantic mood, thinking that he's a big enough man to stay home, babysit.
Well, he's done his job, and then when you come home, he might have something that he's really looking forward to spending time alone watching, and you want to come in, and because you're in the mood, you're not taking his feelings into account.
Same thing with afterwards. Now, Don wanted to get a...
Well, I ended up getting some, though.
Yeah, Frieda wussed out.
What do you mean she wussed out?
Well, she shouldn't have given in.
She shouldn't have given in?
No.
Why shouldn't she have given in? You never go to bed mad, right?
What?
Right. You never go to bed mad.
No, you don't.
Right. Two glorious people should be bonded together as one.
Absolutely.
So.
The ultimate expression of love.
That's right.
Not during Jerry Maguire.
I don't mind it during Jerry Maguire. Just don't come in and make it so that I'm Jerry Maguire and that you are Renee...
That's a girl thing, though.
Zimbardi or whatever her name is.
And, you know, for the people that made Jerry Maguire, this whole thing could have been avoided if Jerry Maguire, towards the end of the movie, had just this huge scene. You had mentioned that there was something else she did that was even worse.
I find this maddening. She's a big one with books on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about that. Good for her.
Right.
She's listening to... a book by Stephen King. I think it's Rose Matter. One of those books. That
sounds right.
It's 16 tapes. All of them read by Stephen King himself, who has a very...
Stephen King himself.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, but I thought that you stole the wine when
good
I
luck,
stole
Mr.
it.
Mr. Griswold. I hope you have better luck, sir.
Guy's got an annoying voice, Stephen King, okay? My wife, like, the only thing I can do is equate this to something a real old person would do.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the kitchen... She's listening to her book on tape, but she's got it turned on super loud,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time, in the next room, we're watching television, okay? So it's like, Bart and I are watching, I guess this was Sunday,
right.
Simpsons, mm-hmm. King of the Hill,
right.
And it was a battle, because my wife was in the kitchen, and every time I would say to Bart, turn the volume up, I can't hear that, because Mommy's listening to her book, she would get mad... And turn the volume up on this. I've never heard of anybody who has a book on tape. When you turn it up as loud as you can, and you got it as you're walking all through the house, and it's Stephen King going,
he walked into the house. It was a scary time to be alive. The blood started to come out of his ears.
I mean, except loud.
Is he reading it in a scary way, Stephen King?
He's trying to be a scary.
What a horrible thing to say.
Slowly I turn, step by step.
It's not so much Stephen King. It's the fact that, you know, books on tape, you're supposed to listen to those in your car.
Right. On headphones.
Or,
right?
Yeah, or in a Walkman.
In your car with headphones.
Hey, you'd be surprised how many people you see driving who have headphones on.
When I said you can listen in your car or you can listen with headphones, I don't recommend listening in your car with headphones. A lot of people drive with headphones on, and I've always, I always get a kick out of those people, too, as much as I get a kick out of the people doing makeup, the women doing makeup.
Well, I thought it was maddening. The whole thing was like some bad episode of The Twilight Zone that everywhere I went, no matter what room of the house I would go, I would hear this booming voice. And, you know, Rose Madder, it's a scary book.
Right, and I'm sure that it's difficult to focus on anything else when you hear that scary dialogue.
Yeah, and I would scream into the kitchen, hey, we are trying to watch The Simpsons here. And then I would hear back, I am trying to listen to my book. Yeah. Back and forth, and that was maddening. Just, yeah. It drove me crazy all weekend.
Sure.
And the last thing, not a real pick-me-up, I'm sad because Frida's Uncle Buddy died over the weekend.
Uncle Buddy.
Uncle Buddy. Hey, Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
A real good guy. Mm-hmm. And it's my wife's mother's brother. And what was weird about it was that it was 1 year ago this weekend, this past weekend, mm-hmm. that my brother-in-law Leo passed away.
Yeah, I remember that.
And at that time last weekend, right. we were up for the Martin Luther King holiday again, up with my mother-in-law.
Right.
And we brought the same kid with us. Who came with us this weekend, Bart's friend Matt.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh.
we were sitting around, and Saturday was the anniversary of the death of Leo. And obviously we were all, you know, bummed about that.
Oh, yeah.
He was a great guy. We miss him very much. And somebody said, hey, you know, Matt was here last year with us when we found out that Leo passed away. And 2 seconds later, he said, hey, you know, Uncle Buddy passed away.
Well, the kid's going to have a complex.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't mean to give him a complex, but everybody in the room turned around and gave him a look like, you know.
He's Typhoid Mary or something like that.
Damien.
This is your fault.
Yeah, so it was just a weird way to
I'm sorry about the
to end the weekend.
Sorry
and, yeah,
to hear that,
and my serious condolences to my wife's entire family, because Buddy was a great guy. I was very close to him, and sorry to see him go.
It's a tough year. That's a tough year.
Yeah. And Cher will not be delivering the eulogy.
That's good.
At Uncle Buddy's funeral.
I know you intervened for that, and I'm glad you did that.
So, your weekend.
My weekend only has one major highlight. It was a very quiet weekend at home. Went out to dinner one night, but it was very sedate. Except because we did have the 3-day weekend, I decided, for the first time probably in about 2 years, that I was going to be handy and I was going to go outside. And I had mentioned to you, I'm not sure whether I mentioned it on the air, but probably about 3 weeks ago, I was in the Price Club walking up and down the aisles of power equipment, which even though I am not a handy man, I dig going into the Price Club. And it's one of my favorite places to go up and down where they have the real tools and to see what I want. Well, there was a...
Is that tool?
What I thought was a very good price on a chainsaw. And
is this like, the chainsaw you bought for the ice storm?
Yes, this is the chainsaw. This is the one that's been sitting in my garage for a long time. And I prepped it when we had the ice storm. And I'll tell you what happened when I did that. I bought the chainsaw weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And then when the ice storm was coming, I went out and I got the gasoline mixture, got the special oil, because you're supposed to use a gasoline oil mixture.
Right.
I have in the past made that mistake where you're supposed to put the oil in the gas, which makes it doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, thought the directions were wrong the first time I read that, too.
You know, why do you have to put, you got gas. Gas is to power it. Oil is to lubricate it. Why do you have to put them both together? But you have to do that.
Right.
So this time
I remember. Great taste. The taste great together.
I put the oil in and I put the gas in and I get this thing all fired up. And this was probably the day of the ice storm. I went out to prep it and just to see, and I see this old dead piece of tree that's sticking up there, and I said, this will be a great one to practice on. So I fire the thing up. I'm going, wee, wee. And before I got even a quarter of an inch into this, the saw starts smoking.
Ooh.
And it goes, wee, yeah. And then I'm trying to use the engine, going, and the blade's not going. And it was at that moment I realized that you have to put chain oil in, too. Otherwise, you will burn up your saw and it won't work.
Yeah.
And so I was worried.
Can't you just like 3-in-1?
Well, I don't know. I want to use the right stuff because I bought this product. And maybe I could use 3-in-1. Maybe I could use like olive oil from So I go, I leave it in the garage because at this point I said, you know, this stuff doesn't work for me. But with the 3-day weekend, I said, I'm going to try it again. There's a lot of trees on my land. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do it. So I go into the garage. I go down to the local chainsaw store. And in my town, we have a chainsaw store that sells exclusively chainsaws and chainsaw products. exactly what mine sounds like. I can bring it in, it would sound exactly. That must be the sound of a chainsaw. So I get the a chain and bar lubricant, which is the special oil, and I pour, and it takes a lot of this stuff. I thought it'd be just like a little thimbleful, but it takes a lot of this stuff. And I used to have a chainsaw years ago that you would have a little thumb pump, and that would like that would puke the oil out onto the chain. It doesn't have this. So I spend the better part of an hour trying to see if it's right. And then I move it with my hand. I wear a glove, and I move the blade with my my hand to see it's working.
Rubber glove?
And it seems, no, it was actually, it was not a work glove either. It was a ski glove, which is now ruined, too, that you're supposed to use because, you know, it cuts right through that thinsulate stuff. So I'm I'm moving the blade around, and I see that the oil is actually spewing onto the bar. And I'm ready to go out. And now I'm serious. Now this is, you know, no more practicing. We're going to go out and take care of some of the deadwood that's on my lot out there. In
you demand.
I got a lot of stuff to deal with. The first thing I see is this ugly, dead pine tree that's leaning up against this really nice hardwood. It's leaning up against there, and it's just, it's putting pressure on this hardwood tree. And I think it's going to kill this tree, so I'm going to go take this down. But it's sort of split. And it's hanging on the good tree. So I fire this thing up. It's the perfect size. And I'm cutting through there. I take the thing, and I'm going right through the thing. And I put a little notch in there so it'll fall right. But it's kind of leaning, and it's leaning into the other tree. And as I get three-quarters of the way through, it starts to give a little. And the saw goes... and stops, and it's something, if anybody's ever used a chainsaw, you know when it stops, it's not good, because something is, the tree is like mashing up, and then I look, and I say, well, let me see if I can just give a little more, I loosen it up, I start again, and then it goes, yeah, and the tree doesn't fall to the right, doesn't fall to the left, it comes off the stump and falls straight down, ripping the running saw out of my hand, and mashes the saw into the ground with the blade, and I'm sitting there looking at it like, yeah, there we go. I can't move this saw anyway, and I'm pulling on it, and I just said, well, I've got to pull the tree off it, so I start like giving this thing linebacker shots with my entire body going, come on, get off the saw, get off the saw. Meanwhile, the blade of the saw is probably, it's soft ground, it's probably, I'm not exaggerating, 6 to 8 inches into the mud at this point, as it's just below. And I'm looking at that, and I go into the garage to see if I can now get some rope to get some leverage to pull the tree back. The saw is, I think, shattered. I think it's, like, dead. And I've used this saw for a total of probably 13 minutes, and this saw is completely useless now. So I go in, and I'm looking for rope so I can maybe, like, pull the tree and make it move. And I can't find any rope, so what I find is another product I bought, hose with little, you know those hoses with the little pinholes that water your lawn?
I know.
I get that, and I realize I wrap it around like halfway up the tree with this branch coming out, and I put it over my shoulder like I'm Thor, and I'm going, and I realize I'm not even budging the tree, but I am stretching the hose, and it's pulling up against, and it's at this moment where my wife comes out of the garage, and I turn around, and I get the look, which is the look, you know, hello, idiot. And I really feel like a jerk. She said, what are you doing? I said, look at the saw. And she comes over and starts laughing because at this point the saw is under. She says, can you get it out? I said, if I could get it out, do you think I would just be sitting here trying to pull the tree off the ground with a hose? And so I'm pulling on this and nothing's working. And she says, well, just push it, lean on it a little bit, and I'll pull it out. I'm like, oh, yeah, the tons of tree, this huge, majestic, dead pine is smashing down, and you're going to be able to, and she said, just lean on it, and I'll pull it out. And I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. She said, just try it and shut up, Mr. Handy. And so I lean on the tree, and as I lean on the tree, she tugs on the saw, and I see the blade start to move, and I realize she's going to be able to, and then, like, with two more tugs, she pulls it out, and I'm like, and I had, like, curl up the hose and bring it back into the garage, and then put the for the rest of the weekend I had to put the saw back in a case and not use it anymore.
Put it back in this like violin case. Yeah.
But meanwhile, I got this very precarious like leaning tree that now has just, instead of being on the stump, it's still leaning against the good tree, and the bark of this thing is just like being sucked up by the mud, and I'm scared to go out there because I'm afraid I might kill myself.
Right.
And that's what I did on the weekend. Oh. Happy weekend, everybody.
Wow. They came up on the short end of the stick.
Sounds like
what a horrible thing to say.
Stay there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Help you, Mike.
boy?
You got any white bread?
Yes.
I'll have some toasted white bread, please.
You want butter or jam on that toast, honey?
No, ma'am. Dry.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
You all want anything to drink with that?
No, ma'am.
A Coke.
Be up in a minute.
The Don and Mike Show.
Expertly aged like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Right. And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. George here hosting it for you this week. And let's get right back into it. I think the moment calls for a little Arnold. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Batman. Batman, I kill you later. Kill the heroes. Your emotions make you weak.
That is Arnold's best movie. And the best part of that, of Batman and Robin, if you really want to see Arnold really acting, and the Arnold that we love...
Trying to act.
It's a small part. It's a part where Batman is looking at a videotape of Mr. Freeze before he became Mr. Freeze.
When he's happy Mr. Freeze.
It's like a home video of Arnold with his wife.
Yeah.
And it's him with his real big face, and he's got that real big smile.
Arnold playing happy.
Yes. We are married.
We are very happy. I'm so happy. I'm going to be so angry when she's gone. Duh.
When she's frozen.
That's why the taste's mine.
Batman.
I'll kill you next time.
Although, here's the clip. This is the one from Batman and Robin where he really is acting. Well, he looks like he's trying.
Yeah. Battling the bat exhausted my power. I was successful, nevertheless.
He's an actor.
Absolutely was. One more giant diamond of this size.
What?
And my breathing engine will be complete.
I don't know. But he's acting.
I will freeze the city.
Do you notice he can't say freeze?
Gotham ransom.
Freeze.
The city bows to my demand.
Bows.
It's winter forever here in Gotham.
What?
The city fathers will have no choice.
Fathers.
Just give me the billion.
The city fathers.
To complete
fathers.
My research.
I'm Mr. Freeze. Find a cure.
Find the cure.
The feezing action. The fees. Yeah, the city fathers.
Find a cure.
Talk a shame.
Batman. All right, more Arnold junk coming up. Oh, I have a shout out. Someone that we haven't heard from on the show in a while, and I haven't heard from in my personal life either. You know that that crazy disc jockey, George McFly?
Ah, yes, George McFly.
Our friend from Denver who almost got fired for taking his clothes off during his radio show or something like that.
Used to enjoy doing his broadcast shirtless.
Okay, so last night, I get done at the hospital, and I get back home, and I get into bed, and just as I nod off to sleep, the phone rings, and it's George. And bless his heart, he's concerned.
Amen.
Because he's listening to our show in Denver, where we are heard from 6 to 10 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And where I understand my comments about John Elway really went over big yesterday.
Sure.
You know. So he calls and he goes, "Hey, man, it's George McFly." And I'm totally out of it. I'm
right.
Totally zoned. I go, "Hi, George, how you doing?" He says, "Oh, man, I'm all concerned about Bart." So I started talking about Bart, and I told him what happened, and then, you know, this is just what you want to hear. I've just gone to sleep. I'm finally getting a little bit of peace of mind about my kid.
Sure.
George McFly says, "Did they take his appendix?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, no, man.
Oh, he's Mr. Medical. He's Mr. Medical guy.
Oh, the appendix. Hey, listen, Don, I want to tell you something. It's not a useless organ. You need..." And I'm asleep, and I'm saying, "Listen, George, it's a moot point because, you know..."
It's gone.
It's out of his body. He goes, "Oh."
How weird is that?
Man,
you know, he was especially, and when his medical expertise, at least he liked to think, was
enemas.
Always about that part of the body.
Yeah, anyway. Always involves the butt area or down there, you know, below the waist.
Listen, man, I want to tell you about colonic irrigation. He was big into that.
So hi to George, because I know he listens to our show out there in Denver after he's done with his own DJ show.
Hello, George. Keep your shirt on.
How you doing? Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, they kept his job. Oh, man.
Like, you know, huge mistake. Like, oh, George. George. I'll take him back and have them sew it back in.
Dr. McFly.
Thank you, George. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're talking to us. Hello.
Don?
Yes.
How you doing?
No, how you doing?
How are you doing?
Doing great.
How you doing, Mike?
Just great, sir. How are you?
Good. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Why don't you ask him how he's doing?
How are you doing, Buzz?
I'm doing well, sir. You better ask him how he's doing again, Buzz. How you doing, sir?
You know what? I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I live in Manteca.
Hey, buddy, it's an honor and a privilege.
Hey, I just want to
thank you for your service to our show.
Hey, no problem.
You live in Manteca?
That's by Stockton.
Oh, okay.
California.
California.
Hot Talk 1140.
I don't know. Maybe sometime.
Okay.
Right now, I'm focused on an article in the new Sport magazine.
Really?
That somebody faxed us.
What's it about? I just turned you guys on.
It's about Rudy.
Rudy Marti.
Oh, my God. Is this a bio piece on Rudy?
Now, listen, I'm a little upset. He, of course, mentions us nowhere in the article.
Oh, bummer.
But look, there he is. It's Rudy Marti. Calls him as he sees him.
Rupert?
As the nation's most influential couch potato. And look at it. They got a big-ass picture of him there holding a remote control.
Look at that.
And let's see. And then he's got a picture of his favorites of Summerall and Madden.
Right.
And there's more article. And then there's a picture of that guy, Kenny Mayne, from ESPN, because Rudy actually made a fist and called him Vapid.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they put that in to show you that Rudy can be opinionated on occasion.
Rudy can be a tough guy.
I really couldn't tell you much about the article. Of course, I simply scanned it looking for our names.
Yes, we weren't in there. Huh?
Like I do with every article in the newspaper.
Anywhere near us, you have to scan and see if we're in there.
You know,
and you're filing it.
I don't know if you caught it, but when we were at the Super Bowl, he kept telling potential interviewees, come be on my show. He kept saying that. And yet he does this huge interview and never mentions it.
Did he say my show?
Yeah, I heard him say that.
Hey, he's got every right to do that because he got us guests out there, and that's fine.
As long as
he doesn't say it like at at the local watering hole.
Yes. Hey, guys.
What?
How you doing, guys?
Yes.
You know who I really like?
What?
Charlie Stuane Stabilak, guys.
Well, thank you, sir.
I really like him.
Out in Manteca.
That's right. And Dennis Murphy, too.
Well, great. You've got great taste. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Bueno Arbusto.
Bueno Arbusto to you.
Right.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Okay, so the article about Rudy.
Rudy.
There he sits, eyeing yet another sporting event on his 60-inch TV screen. Same TV screen he tried to show Mike and everybody porno after a party.
Yeah, we got out of there quick. All of a sudden, long evening at the Martskys, and he just was working his remote, and suddenly I saw Monica Lewinsky up on the on the tube, and wow. I got out of there.
Surfing channels during a break and groaning about an announcer's comment. Then it's on to SportsCenter for a nightcap. But millions of Americans perform the same ritual, but there's a difference. Rudy Marti gets paid for it. And his spouse of 31 years doesn't complain. She can't. How about that? He gets the mouse mentioned like in the first paragraph, and we're nowhere to be found.
No, they're Siamese twins.
Like we're not as important as his wife.
Yeah.
Then he pounds out yet another sports on TV column for USA Today, rating the winners and losers, blah, blah, blah. He has 2 million readers. He can make people's day, blah, blah. People have the different perspective. Okay, then it's about Rudy. About how he got his job at USA Today, about who he likes and who he doesn't like.
You're getting bored with this article right now?
Yeah,
you know, he could have mentioned us.
Now, next to his TV, Martski's most important tool is the phone, which is constantly attached to his left ear during the week. His most used phrase is, hold on, let me get rid of this call. On a typical day, Rudy follows that closely with his oft-imitated Wisconsin-esque, how you doing?
Hey, all right. Well, heads up to that interviewer, that profiler.
Yeah. Oh, listen to this. No reporter is more aggressive than Martski. Yeah, right.
Oh, God.
Yes. Right. As long as he can research the story from the hotel bar. Yes.
How you doing, guys?
All right, let's see. Stories are chased deep down into the night.
Yes.
Such as the time he learned at 10 p.m. of John Madden signing with Fox. Every day he picks up the phone with the same enthusiasm as the day before.
Not if you catch him before 9 a.m.
What the playful Martski enjoys most, aside from wine and playing golf, is a good battle with him in the middle. He'll offer strong opinions, But Martsky admits his mistakes, bestowing one of his infamous Oops Awards on himself. On the basement wall of his Sterling, Virginia home is a framed column from 1989, blah, 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 blah. Hands out the Rudy Awards, blah, blah, blah.
Lots of blah, blah, blah. This
Rudy bounced around professional. Oh, it's all the stuff about him being in the ABA. Although they do mention the University of Wisconsin graduate, Badger's paraphernalia decorates the basement bedroom and bathroom.
Okay, well, at least they, you know, a story broken on this show years ago.
Mm-hmm. All right, then it goes on to him working for the ABA.
Come on down and see my Badger toilet seat.
Now the Milwaukee Natives and Institution. Doesn't mention him being in the Coast Guard.
No, they should have that for, you know, deep background.
It's important. It doesn't mention his trip to Tijuana. People are fascinated by announcer, says Marsky, married with two grown sons. They want to know more about them. People look for me to be the guy with the stuff. That's my job. That's what I've created. And that's what I've got to do.
Rudy!
Rudy Martsky.
Sport Magazine, that's where they you can read about that, huh?
That's right. Real nice picture of him, too.
Yeah, all about
it. You know, we got to give him some kind of ultimatum. He's got to start mentioning our names in these articles.
Yeah, we want to, milk this friendship for everything it's worth.
Right. How you doing, guys?
No.
Yes.
All right, you want to talk to a guy who claims he was on Jerry Springer? Oh, you know who this is? Do you remember Joey from Mobile, Alabama?
You mean the big guy?
The guy that wanted to be our intern?
Yeah.
Oh. All right, he's on the phone, and he claims that he was on Jerry Springer and that he said our names.
Right. Huh. Hello?
Hey there.
Joey.
No, this isn't Joey.
No, who's this?
I just got a quick question. This is JFK radio station, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. Hey, my God, how come y'all aren't on the air down here no more?
What, down in Mobile?
Hello?
Hey, Don and Mike.
That wasn't him. He hung up.
Yeah, that's no surprise there.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's what it says on the screen now that Joey hung up.
Can you hear me?
Hold on a second, Mike. Before you get mad, I know who this is now. I have just noodled this through.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe... And boy, if I'm wrong, I'm going to be stupid. Is this Char?
No.
No, come on. This is Char Pordonis, right?
I cannot disclose that information.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is
the Char of Iran,
the only Iranian-born player in the National Football League, Char Pordonis, because this is exactly what he was telling me.
Bravo!
When I met him over the football season.
This was supposed to be a secret call, and nobody was supposed to know who I am calling in.
But you know, when you're as big as he is, you can start a conversation any way you want to.
Hey, Char, did you get that copy of our videotape?
Yes, I sure did. And I just want to say something for all the sick-minded people in the world that enjoy sick things like that.
Yes.
It's the best.
Awesome. Thank you.
And I happen to be one of them.
That's fantastic.
So, Char, what's up, man? Now you got 6 beautiful months off?
Yes, it's wonderful.
Everybody, this is really a big football player for the Redskins. That's why we're letting him carry on like this.
A big football player.
Listen, let me ask you your feelings now. I mentioned yesterday, Char, that I didn't like John Elway. I don't have a particular reason for disliking him. And I guess maybe it's because everybody gets caught up in this, John Elway hasn't won the championship and we want his life to be perfect. And I said, she's got a pretty perfect life going already.
You know what? If I was John Elway, I wouldn't be complaining right now. Or even before he won the Super Bowl. But you know what happens? Certain players get to that point and they get kind of rich and they get kind of snotty and they just want, something they don't have. It's that whole theory of, the grass is greener on the other side. And I think it's kind of being snotty a little bit, because I think there's other people that deserve it, like myself,
Yeah, that's right, Sean. That's right, yes. Bully.
Bully.
Bully, Mr. Speaker. Hey, were you surprised with the Super Bowl?
You know what? No, because I don't know if I told you guys this before or not, but I have certain powers that allows me to read into the future, and I knew that they were going to win.
And do you know that about every football game that you play in also?
I was wrong a couple of times last year.
Yeah.
I was wrong with the Baltimore game and the St. Louis game, but I usually don't get wrong.
Other than that, it was perfect. Hey. Char, thank you for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Well, I thank you for having me on there and trying to get me in trouble, but that's all right.
All right, thanks, Char.
Good luck with your off-season workout program in the Blue Flame.
Bye, dude.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
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 There you go. Wow. I love that. NFL guys are great, but the linemen are the best in the world.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when You're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks for listening, Chief. It's the Don and Mike Show.
The best of the Don and Mike Show. As a matter of fact, Joe Arndinger with you. And in this next segment, the guys take a TV game show quiz. I have a feeling this is going to have a lot of Rob in it. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hey, honey.
Yes, them. You're at home now?
Yeah.
Well, what did you want?
Well, I wanted to ask you about the cigars. That's all I wanted. What did you want?
I know I meant before when I talked to you before. I wanted to ask you about Godzilla.
Oh, all right. Well, go ahead.
What about Sheriff Karen?
I was just amazed at how quickly you recognized her voice.
Well, I'm good like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with voices like that.
I think he recognizes the voice because he wants to be quick to hang up on her whenever she calls in.
Thanks, Powerball buddy.
I was just amazed for someone who's only, you know, who only innocently propositioned you and of course, you don't recognize all your listeners. Most listeners call you and they say, Don, do you remember the time I called in? And you go, oh, sure, I remember. But that,
no.
but let a woman call in who asks you to lick on your tattoo, and you recognize her voice instantaneously.
Well, I hung up on her immediately, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He practically lunges at the phone when she calls.
It.
He does. He dives for it.
She heard it. You were listening, right?
Well, yeah, I heard it. I heard the very much implied, don't call me on the air.
Oh, honey. What do you mean, implied don't call me on the air?
Well, I heard that. All right, boo-boo.
What conversation did you hear?
Well, I heard that you don't want her calling when your wife could be listening.
Right.
I mean, that was evident. Right. All right.
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. Don't call me when my wife could be listening.
Right. That takes out the whole show.
Right. Don't call me on the air.
All right. Yeah, so she'll be calling me in the office.
Okay. I got you. I'm with you. I'm tracking.
All right.
Okay. Because I would throw away 17 great years with you for Sheriff Karen. What about Godzilla?
Well, there wasn't a lot of plot to it, but it was really good, you know, action. I know you like action, so you might like. I mean, if you want 2 hours of chasing a lizard, it delivered.
Good special effects.
Yeah, good special effects. But you know, even I was thinking like Independence Day, which that was this guy's movie before, right?
Yeah.
It had more story to it. It had a little love, a little, you know, secrecy with the aliens. I mean, it had more plot. This was really. I mean, I looked at my watch, and within half an hour of sitting in the theater, they were chasing the lizard through New York City, so they didn't waste.
Good. Good. Well, you know what I say? I say that's good. Why make us wait to see the big lizard?
There was no waiting. I mean, the lizard in the first scene attacks a boat, and then he is on his way to New York City.
He attacks a boat? Is it a big ship like the Titanic?
No, I think isn't it that thing they've showed in the previews?
With a Japanese fishing boat or something.
Yeah, they've shown that before in the previews.
Oh, unbelievable.
And then, you know, the preview where Godzilla is coming up to the dock, the guy standing there fishing.
Oh, and you just see his big eye?
No, you see the wave just start to come where Godzilla is coming, and the guy starts running away from the dock.
Oh, and it lifts the whole dock
right?
Oh, cool.
Right. So he was in New York City within a half hour, and then you're just chasing a lizard the rest of the movie.
But like Matthew Broderick's not the hero, is he?
Well, yeah, he is.
I hate Matthew Broderick. I really, I hate him so much. God, I hate him. I hate Matthew Broderick.
He's a nerdy, sweet hero.
Right here, Matthew Broderick. He killed somebody over in Ireland. little Matty Broderick.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
What, honey?
And then the other thing you won't like is that the other big hero is a French guy.
I will lick the armpit of the lizard. Lift up the arm.
As long as I've been living, the French have been f***ing us.
So, give it, what's a good thing that you could use? I was going to say, give it a thumb up or how many stars. How many vials of Sheriff Karen poison would you give it? On a 1 to 5 scale.
No, as for you, as for the adolescent, you know, the boy kind of mind.
Right, the dumbing of America.
I would give it on a 4 scale, I'd give it a 3.
All right, and what about for all the people like you who consider themselves to be intellectuals who would rather go see that
horse whisperer?
I'd give it a low 2. I mean, it's fun, but it's got no plot.
A good escapist fun.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, honey.
Yeah, all right.
All right, I love you.
All right, love you too, boo-boo.
See you later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. She's not really upset about Sheriff Karen, is she?
Who knows? Listen, come to my house for dinner tonight and you'll find out.
Welcome. I will bring Pestley. Pestley told you so.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello, Mike. Do you have the lotto ticket?
Yes.
Okay, because I have 5 of them. Do you want one?
No, Dennis, I got plenty. Thank you very much,
okay,
sir.
Okay, I'm still at Ocean City.
Major star Dennis Murphy calling the show right now.
Major
epic star. Dennis, did you ever get a hold of Tammy to find out about your endorsement deal with Mobile?
No, I'm able to hook up with her because I've been antiquing with a young lady.
You've been antiquing with a young lady today?
Oh.
But who's the young lady you're antiquing with?
Aaron?
Aaron?
Yeah.
Really? You went out antiquing?
Yeah.
And did you enjoy this woman's company?
Well, you know me. I'm not much of an antiquer, but Aaron loves antiquing.
Mm-hmm. You think you have any chance with this woman?
No. Unfortunately, she is taken.
Oh. Oh, all right.
Okay.
All right. Well, you had a good time. I mean, you know, as long as you can be around to, you know, smell their perfume.
We're going to take the island tonight, so we'll see what happens.
He's a party animal.
All right, bye, Dennis.
Hey, you all have a great day.
Okay, all right, bye-bye. You had plenty of airtime before, Dennis.
I'm sorry.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Party doesn't stop when the beach house is closed for Murphy. No.
There he is.
That's right. He'll be there all week.
Major effing star. Dennis P. Murphy. All Hello. Right. You ready to play a game, Mike?
Yes, I am. Now, what is this game, this secret game that I know nothing about?
Hello, Donna Mike.
Chris from D.C.
Hey, Chris. Tell you in just a second. Hello. Yeah, Chris.
TV tip tonight. The Washington Post said that on the CB retrospective of CBS of comedy shows, they had home movies from the Andy Griffith Show taken on the set. So maybe we'll see some secret handshake?
Oh, man, that'd be a great way to clue it in.
Wouldn't that be something you see some old grainy film when they go into the back of the barbershop and there's Goober and Gomer just going at it?
Hey, buddy.
Just boom, boom, boom.
And like in the upper right-hand corner, all of a sudden you see this portly woman in fishnets and a leather teddy walking through. It's B.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, your son, does he have a video game system?
Yeah, of course. So do I.
What, PlayStation?
No, we have Saturn.
Saturn.
And we have N64.
Okay, but N64 is all right. But if you had a PlayStation, you could basically run from the police and on like car chases. It's almost just like what they show on.
I can do that on my way home tonight. Yeah.
Again, get off the phone. Hello, Donna Mike.
Here they come.
Hello.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Eddie Potter. How you doing?
Hello, Eddie Potter.
Eddie Potter on the line, Don.
Yeah, EP.
Hey, I was over at the Reston Golf Tournament the other evening talking with Rudy Marsky, the St. Jude Celebrity Classic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was talking with him. He was having a good time after the tournament. And, you know, I was just having some pleasantries with him, telling him what a great job I thought he did and what a nice addition he was to your show. And,
you know, I heard that big thump in the back of the studio, and I leaned over to make sure Rob hadn't had a heart attack.
What did you do, Rob? Oh, he dropped a bunch of tapes.
Yeah. That made me laugh. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir. Yes, well, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, Mike, I was telling him what a great job he did, and he says, well, you make sure, Eddie, and tell Mike that.
Okay, you mean like the way he played?
No, what a job I thought he did on the show. As far
oh, really?
As, you know, how he worked with you guys. And he made a point of saying, make sure you tell Mike what a good job you think.
Well, listen, who knows? Maybe Rudy just hates us both. I just found out moments ago.
Uh-huh.
I was told moments ago,
yes,
that Rudy Martsky's son, Michael, left a kind of unintelligible message for Julie, the sales lady.
Really?
Uh-huh. He steamed at me for what I said about him on the show on Monday.
Wow.
And he wants to fire off some kind of a fax to me.
And Rudy obviously thinks that I don't like his performance on the show because he said to you, tell Mike that I do a good job on the show, right?
That's exactly right. Okay. I said, what's going on there? He says, you just tell Mike that.
All right. Thank you, Eddie.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Mike, Eddie Potter checking in.
That's Eddie Potter. He's got all the skinny.
Thank you, Eddie.
Hey. Try the Marriott burger.
All right, well, we'll get to the bottom of that thing with Rudy's son and everything on another episode.
It's a compliment, jeez.
Mike, we got a new CD full of TV themes. However,
oh, great.
It's a CD full of TV game show themes.
Oh, boy, this is fantastic.
And now Rob will attest to this. I haven't looked at it.
Right.
No. As soon as we got it in, I said, keep it and hide it from me because I want to play Mike in a game.
Okay.
We'll play Name That Tune.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you think you know what the title is,
all right,
you got to yell out, and I'll stop the CD.
Okay.
Which cut first here? Robbie Spiewak.
Family Feud. I'm sorry. I apologize. I was just a little eager. I apologize.
Hey,
would somebody, hold on. Hey, Charlie, would somebody call Rudy's house to find out if anybody from his house would go on the air with us about the thing with the son? Because I feel bad about that. Hi, Charlie.
Hello. I believe Rudy is out of town going to another golf tournament, but I will check to see if Mouse is
check
there.
Check the Mouse. Ask the Mouse what's going on.
Yeah, find out okay. If, you know, what the deal is. Who's mad and who's not mad.
All right. Cut number one, Rob?
Very easy, yes.
Very easy. You ready, Mike?
Yes.
Here we go. Got it. Wheel of Fortune.
Yep. That's right.
That was it.
Here's Pat, here's Anna now.
She does nothing.
The actual name of the song is Changing Keys, and it was written by Merv Griffin.
Changing keys, I am so changing keys. I feel so changing keys. I'm feeling gay.
Merv. All right.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hannah.
Ooh.
Merv. All right, well, that's one for me. What's the next one, Rob?
Number two, another easy one.
All right. How many are on the CD?
There are 20.
Oh, my God.
21. All right.
Cut number two. You ready, Mike?
Yes.
Here we go.
Right. Mike had it.
Jeopardy. Good one. Good one, Mike. Good
you know,
one.
That's that beginning.
It's the intro you never hear, right?
Very, very confusing.
This is Jeopardy. I'm Johnny Gilbert. Now they're entering the studio. Oh, my God. Alex is not wearing pants. Our champion is from Fairfax, Virginia. He's an accountant and a spokesperson for Mobil Oil. Say hello to Dennis Murphy. In the center section of Do Nothing from Northern Virginia, let's say hello to Tom Gavin.
All right, Jeopardy. So we're tied.
Yes.
We're tied at 1-1.
Do you want to skip the really old ones?
How like, old is really old?
Like this one, this one is like 50 to 67.
50?
It ran a long time.
I'd say go with it. What do you say, Mike?
Yeah, 50 to 60. Long time.
Cut three.
All right.
Truth or consequences?
Not correct.
It's some jive music, though, isn't it?
Can I guess again?
Not until I guess.
Okay.
I'll just wait and take my time. How about a clue?
It ran from 1950 to 1967, and it was emceed by John Daly with regulars like Bennett Cerf, Arlene.
What's Franklin. My line?
That's right.
What's my line? Aston, okay.
Next one is another older one, ran for a long
time. Was I
ago.
Able to jump in there?
If you could have,
with
yeah.
The clue with that. All right, just yeah. Wanted to make sure that we were making sure all the rules
we're finding
are
the rules as we go.
On the up and up.
All right.
Cut four.
Do we need a clue on this one?
Probably. It broadcast from 1952 to 1967.
God, they're all over at 67. Get
all right,
up.
Here we go.
From Goodson and Todman, original host was Gary Moore, followed by...
To Tell the Truth?
No.
Concentration?
No. Gary Moore, followed by Steve Allen, and later Bill Cullen.
I've got a secret.
That's right.
I've got a secret. Very good. Very good.
That was a pure guess. I mean, I have no concept what the theme is.
Yeah, no S.
Move forward to cut seven.
I know. I'm a bad loser. I'm sorry.
I know okay. You are.
Next one.
Cut seven.
Cut seven.
I don't think you'll need a clue.
Charming. Huh?
Cut seven. What was that, Robbie?
I don't think you'll need a clue for this
All right.
One.
Okay. I'm going to guess. Is it press your luck?
No, I'm sorry. That is not right.
Damn. Okay, free shot, Mike.
Okay. It's like on all the time.
Right.
Do you not know? Because if you don't know, we can both guess after a hint.
All right, can we jump in after the hint? All right, yeah, I don't know.
The hint begins. It ran from 1977 to 1986 in syndication, and the host was actually a guest on this show at one point.
So it was obviously Wink Martindale hosted
right.
it.
I have
no
idea.
If you did well in the main portion, you could beat the dragon.
Joker's Wild.
No,
what
close
is it?
Though.
What
it's
is
another
it?
Barry Enright. It's Tic-Tac-Doe.
How are we supposed to know Tic-Tac-Doe?
Man, tic-tac-doe. You know, I recognize the theme, but I just couldn't place the game.
All right, give me another one here. Which
Cut
one?
Eight.
Number eight. Here we go. Do we need a clue on this or a setup?
This ran from 77 to 86 and was hosted by Jack Barry.
Jack Barry. Joker's Wild.
That's right.
Crap.
Joker? Joker? Joker!
Man, it's real Team City.
What's the score?
Joker Wild was always a cheesy one, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jack Barry making his comeback on Joker's Wild.
Right, after the game show scandal.
And what I always remember about that show is that the Joker's Wild had devils. You had to avoid the devil.
Right.
And Jack Barry himself looked like a devil.
Yeah. Oh. We do have time for another one, Rob.
Okay,
which one?
Cut 11. No hint.
No hint?
No hint.
Cut 11. All right, sounds like it should be an easy one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Dating Game.
Dating Game, Newlywed Game.
It was Dating Game, and Mike beat you to it.
Oh.
I'm going down to defeat after defeat on this game.
Well, you know, you're just, if you get concerned about that, look back to your records in the name game.
I know, but I take a lot of pride in TV, man.
I would be in the cellar in the name game.
Let me hear the intro on that again. That's...
See, I had never heard the intro to it before. That's
I'll give you credit,
name.
Mike. You got it. You got that one.
It's got that Tijuana brass sound, you know.
No. And now, here are the guys.
Number one says he's a convicted man. He's been serving a term of 40 years to life in San Quentin Federal Penitentiary.
Please say hi to Jeff Shrinsky.
Jeff Shrinsky is a sales guy here.
Oh, man.
Boy, you know, that's a good one. Though. Once you get into it,
yeah.
That is a good one. Gentlemen, are you ready to meet the lady? Here she is. Let's say hi to Kate Sloan.
Don't forget the end of the show. All right, let's all give a big Dating Game kiss. And then they would, with really cheap chroma key,
right.
They put like a spinning kiss that would come at the out at the screen at you.
Jim Lang.
All right. I'm getting killed here by Mike. And what is the next cut? Because I'm going to come back now.
All right, coming back with a vengeance was cut 12. No hint.
Cut number 12. No hint. All right, stand back. Going to get this one.
All right.
Newlywed Game.
Very good.
God.
Strong.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
You got it.
No, he said it was bigger than a bread box. And the girl always with the answers on her lap.
That means Bob and Julie, you're our grand prize winner. Here's your spoon.
Oh, no, you don't remember what it was? Here's your grand prize, selected especially for you. And it was always some piece of junk.
Yep.
Some no-name, like, washer and dryer.
Always the worst, the worst prizes on television.
Yeah. Da-da-da. All right.
Okay, throwing you a curveball here to cut 17.
Cut number 17.
Any
hint needed?
I think it was hosted by Alex Trebek. That'll be the first hint. I don't think you need anything beyond that.
Okay.
I take that back. It was Jim Perry.
All right, I'm going to take a wild guess. Is right. It Card Sharks?
Card Sharks it
oh.
is.
Card Sharks. Man, I had no idea.
Remember that's where they had the
card
big...
Card Sharks? Well, I never saw
Big-ass dice.
Oh, all right, all right.
Where you would come out and they would throw the... Like, the, you know the kind of dice you hang from your windshield?
Yeah.
You would come out and throw them.
Like and Jim Perry. I don't even know who Jim
actually,
Perry
no,
was.
That's High Rollers.
Oh, well...
Card
oh,
sharks.
No. Card sharks, they had big cards on top of them,
what
right?
What they would do is they'd ask you a question, how many Americans would say this?
Right.
And then one person would yes, and the other person would say higher or lower.
Card sharks.
It's card sharks. All right, I'm on the comeback trail now. What's our next one, Rob?
You want a hard one or one that you'll know right away?
Well, give us an easy one.
All right, then go to number 13.
At number 13.
Easy, you say?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Wait a minute, I know this.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Match game.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
No.
Oh. Mike, you get a free
All right, Mike, here's your free shot, Mike. Yeah.
These are so, you know them. You've heard them a million times, but it's very difficult to get them. I'm going to say, did Peter Tamarkin host it?
No, one host for a long time.
All right, then let's, you ready for a hint?
Yeah.
All right, it was in a variety of $25,000.
$25,000 pyramid.
Oh, God. It was so well known.
Dick
Clark.
So long. The way that he would sign off.
And then he'd hold his head at that jaunty angle like this. Hi there.
Fingered salute.
So long, Dick Clark, and then like that curvature of the spine thing where his butt would be sticking out.
Not that I'm counting, but I'm pitching the perfect game now in the second half of this.
You're definitely, I think you may have taken the lead.
What's the next cut, Rob?
Here's a hard one, number 18.
18. Got a hint for us?
Yeah, I couldn't get the pyramid. I don't know. All right, go ahead.
All right, it was a Bob Stewart show that was seen on NBC in the early 70s, hosted by Mike Darrow.
Oh, man.
I never heard of him.
Never heard of Bob Stewart.
You think we'll know this one?
Maybe not.
Okay.
I remember it.
They're so jive. They all sound the same, don't they?
They reek of polyester.
And they re-ran it on the USA Network up until recently.
Here's our returning champion. From Las Vegas, Nevada, he lives in his car. Rob Grippy.
Rob will be going up against a very successful salesman from Northern Virginia. Let's say hi to Tim McQuillia.
I give. Do you
How about
give?
A hint? How about a hint?
I've given you all the hints it has. It's right. Jackpot.
Jackpot? Jackpot, jackpot. It's a crazy jackpot time.
And now it's the same kind of soundtrack you'd hear like on a British sex film.
Yeah, a wacky sex film.
When they were going through the naked scene, you know, where they're running around the kitchen.
In fast motion.
All tasty.
Bad feet.
Okay, we both petered out on that. Give me another one, Rob.
Okay, easy one. Cut 14.
14.
These are the final three.
Number 14. Okay.
Final three. Here we go.
Price is right.
Oh, you see that? Mike said it first, but you rang in first, so I don't know.
What do you mean rang in first?
I raised my hand.
But I said Price is right first. I said Price is right first.
I have to say tie on
tie, all right.
Tie. It's a car. William Carr for William Rod. What do we have here?
We're running late on time. We have two more, Rod?
Two more.
Okay. What's another one?
Number 16.
Number 16.
Easy or hard?
Easy, I think. Right.
Easy?
Okay.
Wait for the CD to queue up, and here we go.
Family Feud. Oh, another tie. We took all the pressure.
That was a definite tie. That was a definite tie. Now let's play the Family Feud.
Here are the Murphys.
Let's say hi to the Gavin family. Boy, wouldn't you really like this. Let's play the Feud.
All right, one more, Rob.
Last one, and I believe this will decide the match. Cut 15.
Cut 15.
Easy or hard?
I'm not saying.
All right.
You toy with us.
Okay, cut 15.
Match game.
That is right.
Match game.
I had a clue for you, too.
Match game.
Man.
Long, skinny microphone.
With Gene Rayburn.
There's Jack and Breck Plugman. Charles Nelson Reilly.
And Arson Beam.
And always some cold fish like Judy Carn or someone like that, right?
That's right. One, though, if it's on the Game Show Network, I never go by it because it's a great show.
It's a great game. That's pretty good. Where did that CD come from? Let me see if it was that. Oh, it came from the Game Show Network.
That's great.
So I guess he played us most of them.
So they run all those.
Yeah. Let's see. Rob played us Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, What's My Line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you never played us Password.
Yeah.
Let me hear what Password. I don't even remember what the theme to Password is. Who would have known that?
Alan Ludden. And Betty White.
The password is Michael
Torres.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Featuring new dimensions of hatred. The Don and Mike Show.
The best of Don and Mike Show. And jumping right back into it, did you know that Don and Mike could channel spirits? Yes, they can. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Are we set for the seance now?
Man, this is always very scary for me.
Yeah, well.
When we're going to do a seance.
All right, I'm going to channel through Mike, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody, now repeat after me.
Om.
Okay, everybody, thank Dad.
Om.
Thank Dad.
Om.
Thanks, Sinatra.
Om.
Dad, everybody now.
Dad.
Now everybody go.
Baby.
Baby. Everybody go. How about those Charlies?
How about those Charlies?
Hello.
Hey, hello. Hello.
Frank.
Is this you?
Frank Sinatra.
You punk. You crumbs. I heard about you mocking my death. You think I can't reach you from beyond the grave, you hobby? I swear to God, if I was there right now, I'd throw an ashtray at you.
Question for you, Frank Sinatra.
Fire away, baby.
Are there bugs eating out your eyeballs right now?
Hey, you're a real gas. You're an original loser. You know that, baby? You don't talk to me. I'm the chairman of the board. I'm all blue eyes. You don't talk to me like that. You think because I'm gone, I can't get to you? Let me tell you, you're Ensville, baby.
You're Bombsville.
Now let's swing and have a party. Hey, oh boy. Regrets, I have had a few, baby.
Now, Frank?
Yeah.
I guess that you haven't had the bugs eating your eyeballs yet because...
You look at me. I'm floating in this great hole. Summer wind, fly me to the moon.
You're probably laying somewhere all painted up in girls' makeup and...
Girls' makeup. Hey, what the hell does that mean? Hey, I'd slap you silly, baby. You are an original hobby.
Isn't that what they do to dead people? They paint them up real nice so they look like they're alive?
Listen, I know you want to run this clam bake, but I'll tell you something, baby. Sinatra doesn't like the crap you're doling out of that potty mouth of yours. You're an original potty mouth, and I don't like it. Makeup like a girl. You know what I said on my deathbed? No makeup. Sinatra don't need none, baby.
How do you feel about Larry King going to your funeral? I read in his column yesterday he's going.
Hey, good for him. I know that'll make his year. Super Larry thinks he's my buddy. No way. He's Bombsville. He is the atypical hobby, baby.
Now, of course, you didn't die of a heart attack, whatever they made it sound like. It was very sudden. This was a long, drawn-out illness. You were very sick for a long time, right?
Yeah, baby. It took me a long time to get to Ensville, you know, and I had lots of regrets, lots of things that I wanted to linger on and do. You know, back in the heyday, Camelot was good to Frank. Everybody swang. It was Swingsville, baby. We'd had lots of clam.
So you're floating now above everybody. Can you float over to see your body with the girl's makeup and the nice black suit that they have you wearing? Are you laying down now?
I'm floating over you. You can't see me, but I'm looking down at you, hobbies. You crumbs are right in my sight line. I can look down there and see what's going on. And let me tell all of you guys, okay? Mind your P's and Q's. The chairman knows all. He still sees what's going on. Baby, and Jackie O, one more thing.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you, she was a real barn burner, baby.
How long until Bob Hope joins you?
Oh, let me tell you. He's pathetic. You know what I did? Stay in the house when it's Ensville, when it's Bombsville. You stay in your bed. You don't go out. You don't leave the house. You just relax. Wait for the big day, the day of reckoning. Frank stayed private. You got to give me credit for that, baby.
Yeah, you didn't come out in public a lot.
Sure. Don't want to see Frank in that condition.
Was the worst moment of your life when your son Frank Jr. sang the theme song to Gumby?
Hey, he's an original loser. Let me tell you that. Right.
right now. It made me very sad. I tried like hell, but nobody could do it like me. Oh, for Christ's sake, you're playing that song. Oh, no, make it stop.
Here he is, your son.
Oh, he's a hobby. Oh, that's a loser song. What the hell are you trying to... He's trying to sound like his old man. It's not. I'm the original deal. Oh, come on, Frankie Jr. Put a sock in it. Lead my band. That's all you're good for. Conduct my orchestra.
Well, Frank, we're
Gumby. So long. Losers.
And just like that, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. He's gone.
Hello? Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone.
That's it.
There's a moment of greatness right there.
All right, there's our big seance.
Oh, man.
With Frank Sinatra.
Spooky. The chairman of the board.
You heard that. You losers. You Harveys. You heard that. Yeah. Nowheresville, baby.
Hensville. Bombsville.
Bombsville. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You know, that is a problem with the telephones.
That's happened a lot today.
I mean, I know when people are hanging up on us.
I know when you know.
I know
that you know
that you want to meet me. Remember that Eddie Murphy bit?
Oh, it was one of the great.
Hey, Fred. Hey, Fred. I know
that you know.
You know that you.
Norton.
You want to. All right, let me try another line. Hello, Don and Mike.
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
And furthermore, I'll tell you this. I think Dr. Doolittle is going to be right up the toilet.
Yeah. You think that's going to be as quickly as he got us back with Nutty Professor, he's going to go back down with the Dr. Doolittle.
I think so. Every ad that I've seen for that movie looks like it sucks.
Is he going to be wearing special makeup?
No, he's the only one that's not. And like the... who is it? Chris Rock is the voice of a gerbil, I guess.
Okay.
And, you know, they're doing that thing where, yeah, it sounds funnier than it is. Yeah.
Well, come on, man. Help a brother.
Right. And Gary Shandling is a bird.
Well, right there. Forget Gary Shandling.
And at one point, Eddie Murphy is sitting in a doctor's office, and Gary Shandling, who's some kind of a bird, right, turns and says, "Do I look fat to you? If I turn my head like this, do I look like a blue jay?"
Okay.
I'm going to go on record right now, Dr. Doolittle.
Mm-mm. Disaster.
Stinky.
Box office poison.
Hello. Hello there.
How's it going?
Great, my friend.
First, I got to say, Don and Mike kick ass.
Right on, brother.
Thank you.
Right on. I'm calling from Reno, Nevada.
Yes, sir.
How much kind of time delay do we have on this?
What time is it right now in Reno?
2:30.
Right. Well, that's what time it is here.
As a matter of fact, that's what time it is all over the world. It's 2:30.
God damn it! Why do so many stupid people call this show? Why don't you stupid people find another safe haven? Why isn't our show? I go through a whole hour and we don't take any calls because the calls suck so bad. Then the first call I take is you. God damn it, you're an idiot. I mean it.
And then stone silence because you can't process it.
I listen to the Don and Mike show every day, and now you want to call me an idiot.
Yes, I'm going to call you an idiot because you called our show and added nothing. Like you are right now.
Lots of long periods of silence. It gets frustrating.
I understand what you're saying.
First, your stupid comment about, you're not on any kind of time delay. You're hearing the show live right now. And furthermore, in Reno, it's not 2:30, it's 2:42.
2:37.
2:42. I have a clock in front of me.
All right. I apologize there.
Apologize. All right.
Apologize for what? For calling our show or for being alive?
Yeah.
Which is it?
For the having the wrong time.
For having the wrong time.
Yeah.
God, please, God, stop the stupid people from calling this show. Please, God.
Oh, I love it when you get religious. Yeah. I love it when you get religious because strange things happen. Miraculous things happen.
Purposely went a whole hour without taking any calls.
Yeah.
Because most of the calls that we were taking in the first hour today were guys like this.
And I think after a holiday weekend, it's always been our tradition here that the calls take a while to get up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you
Why is that, though? You and me are up to speed when we come in the room. Buzz is up to speed.
Well,
everybody else with a goddamn life is up to speed.
We're professionals, and I look at this show sometimes like a pro-am. Yeah. This is the amateur portion of the program, which is no less important to the show,
yeah.
But we rely on the talents of amateurs.
Listen, you brainless twit. Why did you call us?
Just to talk to Don and Mike.
All right, you piece of garbage. Did you have anything to say at all?
I guess not.
So you really had nothing to say? That's what you had to say.
I just wanted to tell you how I like your show.
Great, thanks. Go to hell.
Oh.
Oh,
see you later.
Feel the love.
Oh, come on. You try taking these calls.
Oh, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
I go a whole hour without taking any calls, and that's the first one we take?
There are going to be occasional individuals
yeah.
who are examples, and Hello. That was the example.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, Bobby.
I was just going to ask Mike, did he get any strawberry jelly?
I saw lots of strawberry jelly at the Delaplane Strawberry Festival. I forgot to mention the one reason I went there was because Willard told me to go. Uh-huh. I saw Willard on the Today Show, you know, saying happy birthday to the 100-year-old
You do everything
people.
Willard tells you
yes,
to do.
Yes, I do. If it's in my neck of the woods, Willard recommends it, I go.
How about when Willard Scott is giving the birthdays of the old people?
Remember when he used to do like one a week and now it's like 50 a day?
Yeah. And they get the picture of these old people who
right.
look like you might as well dig the hole already for them. And then he always says something like, isn't she a beautiful woman?
Hello, Willard.
She's a beautiful woman. Hey, and her hobbies are breathing. Right?
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, a simple question for you, Don and Mike. I just
yes.
returned to the U.S. after 11 years in Asia. But before I left, I remember a radio show I heard on a radio show in Buffalo.
All right, what's your question?
My question is, did you guys do a bit that was about the King of Fa?
No.
That's not you guys.
Right.
All right, that's my question.
Right, another great call.
There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Don what time it is.
Beautiful, sir. You know, I don't mind. Everybody piles on, though. I know that's how it goes.
It's inevitable.
I understand.
Everybody is still on vacation.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Fernando y Miguel.
Hello, my friend.
What's going on, Bottles?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, listen, I was just watching C-SPAN a little while ago. Maybe you can get somebody to get some tape on this. But they were doing something about some Vietnam memorial thing, and they had some Vietnamese woman. Her last name was spelled P-H-U-C.
Really?
Yes.
That's not to be confused with P-H-U-T
would be Phut.
Phut you.
Phut you. That was his entire name, Phut you.
He was my own student.
And that woman, her name would be?
Something like that.
Very close to that.
If her last name was you, it would be a very, I've heard of that name before. I used to have an Italian confidential secretary.
Well, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, sir. This is Tim from Wichita. I wanted to see if sometime you guys are going to be coming here pretty soon.
Can I tell you something? That's another call. I'm really getting sick of taking.
Okay, how about this?
Well, thank you. There's something I can relate to, sir. Thank you.
That's a well-wisher.
Okay.
And if we're coming to wherever you live, listen to your station, because they will announce it.
I always do.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank
Would it be
you.
Safe to say you're forbidding calls on that subject also?
Oh, yes.
I think that's valid.
But it's not going to work.
No, it won't.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Christy from Baltimore.
Hello, Christy.
How you doing?
Hey, fantastico.
Oh, fantastico. Yo tengo bueno or busto.
Oh, you do you? Wow.
Yeah, baby.
So says my husband.
Oh, really? Oh, all
right. He's a Mr. Clean.
Uh-huh.
Jelly. He likes my jelly, too.
I bet he likes your jelly.
He likes your jelly. I'm so happy you have a good marriage. Thanks
you.
For the call.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I was calling. You remember about 2 weeks ago that guy called and you gave him a really hard time because you guys are experts in your field and he was a loser?
Which guy was that, sir?
That happens every day, 20, 30 times on this program.
But you're big, whenever you find someone you think is a loser, you tell them that you guys are number one in the Arbitron books. And that's
yeah.
why you're cool.
Yeah, we are, right. Correct.
All right, you're a winner.
You're right, sir. I'm a goddamn winner in life.
Top of the world. Now leave us alone. That's piling on. That's big time piling on, and I'm getting fed up.
I love Don and Mike Show.
I lost my golf match this weekend. The Red Sox lost 3 games in a row. The Capitals won, though.
Hello.
Bush
radio gods.
Hello.
Helen Hunt or Courtney Cox.
Okay, really, this is it. No more calls. I'm going to prove to everybody now that we can do a show without any interaction from our fantastic audience. Because I know that 99% of the people that listen to this show never call. Yet the 1% that call continue to pound the same two or three idiotic thoughts into every call a million times.
You have made this man cry.
But this is clean. I'm a fuel technician transfer.
I don't care. I don't care. F you.
Right.
You go ahead and laugh. Keep calling. Nobody's picking up those phones today.
We are boycotting those phones.
Right.
Day of baseball, man.
Boy, there you go.
Boycotting those phones.
Let them ring.
Ring, ring. They're
go
ringing.
Go ahead and ring.
They're ringing crazy like now.
Go ahead and ring.
They're ringing, ain't they?
You keep ringing.
Acting crazy now.
Keep ringing. Yeah. I'm not answering.
Do it, Don. This time.
No, I'm not going to answer, Mike. Listen, we got other great stuff we can go to.
I know we do.
All right? Maybe the stuff we got to go through is not so great. I'm kidding.
Look at that line.
I got the funniest mom in America here that we can call.
Look at that bank of lines over there.
I got a taxi cab from the Jerry Seinfeld show that's being auctioned off.
Who are all these taxi cabs?
I got an astrologer who says that Frank Sinatra was going to die, but then he held off because he wanted to see the last Jerry Seinfeld show.
That one I
like.
Okay,
see, we got some good stuff. We don't have to rely strictly on our callers.
No, we do not. We've enjoyed it in the past.
Right, we're just not enjoying it a lot today.
Some of the calls have been, pretty dismal.
But that's okay. That's my fault because I decided that we should take the calls. So now I've made the decision, no more calls.
Guy's out here taking some calls, gets his knee blown up.
Not badly, hopefully. Right. Maybe we'll just have all of our correspondents with listeners now via the mail.
Yeah.
Write us a letter. You got something you want to say to us? Write us a letter.
United States Mail.
Yes.
All right, one more.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Can I speak to Don and Mike?
Oh, no.
Your radio's up too loud.
Turn your radio down.
All righty.
Thank you.
Can I speak to Don and Mike?
Who do you think you're speaking to right now?
Not Don and Mike.
Okay.
Maybe I am speaking to Don and Mike.
This time I really mean it. No more telephone calls.
All right, guys, relax.
Relax?
Yeah.
I can't relax.
He's very upset.
All right, no more calls. It's fine. I can deal with it. I appreciate the fact that everybody's listening.
You should give me a prize for trying to cheer you up.
Give you a prize. Kiss my...
Hey, F you.
Oh, no, F you.
Hey.
Hey, finally, a caller I could really communicate with.
There you go. There's love here. There's love here.
Let's all just be pissed off at the world together then.
What?
Let's all just be pissed off at the world together
then. Let's be angry. You know something? The 3-day weekend's over.
I'm not pissed off at the world. I'm just pissed off at the people that are calling our show.
All right, how about one more complaint while I have you on the line?
Oh, sure. It's a good time for it, sir.
Get off of the air at 7 o'clock so we can listen to the junkies.
Oh, my God, that's nice. We've given you over a decade of service, and you bring up the young upstarts who happen to be our friends.
Well, you cut off a half hour.
You know
of the
something?
Show.
Can I be honest with you?
What's
we
that?
Get kissed. We get wet kisses from the junkies because they like us going on as late as possible.
Listen, the show will go on as far as the show goes on, and you, I was right about you the first time. F you.
Hey, that's not nice.
F you.
Hey, F you.
No, F you.
Hey, when's the next Las Vegas style show?
You can't win.
No.
You know, you just can't win on this show.
I can't argue with you the whole time. I love you guys too.
God, F you.
Hey, F you too, Mike.
All right, F you.
F you, sir. F you. F you, sir.
F you, Buzz. F you, Robbie.
All right, all right. Everybody.
We got a break.
Can we meet again? This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.